a single email unearthed from the sprawling Jeffrey Epstein document dumps has sent shockwaves through anyone paying attention. In 2003, investigative journalist Edward J. Epstein, no relation to Jeffrey, but a longtime chronicler of espionage, cover-ups, and institutional deceit, Edward Epstein reached out directly to Ghislaine Maxwell with the casual yet loaded invitation, any interest in joining a proposed shadow commission on 9/11? This wasn't some random outreach. The former Harvard professor was floating the idea of an alternative inquiry into the attacks, one presumably free from the constraints and compromises that plagued the official 9/11 commission.
What diminishes the idea of a conspiracy in my mind is not that one can't think of a good reason why one couldn't put a conspiracy together, but it's the passage of time. One has to take that into their reckoning as we covered, you know, decade after decade.
Maxwell's inclusion on the invite list speaks volumes about the overlapping circles of power, influence, and potential blackmail that Epstein's operation allegedly cultivated. Why would a man known for dissecting government whitewashes think the partner of Jeffrey Epstein belonged on such a panel? The official 9/11 Commission report, released in 2004, has long been accused of being a carefully curated exercise in selective truth rather than unvarnished accountability. Glaring omissions like the collapse of the World Trade Center Building 7, ignored Saudi connections to the hijackers, eyewitness accounts of bombs by Barry Jennings in World Trade Center 7.
Now, Barry Jennings, you're on the 8th floor, you work for the City Housing Department. Explain to me the moment of impact.
Well, me and Mr. Hess, the Corporation Counsel, were on the 23rd floor. I told him we got to get out of here. We started walking down the stairs. We made it to the 8th floor. Big explosion. Blew us back into the 8th floor. And I turned to Hesh, I said, this is it, we're dead, we're not going to make it out of here.
Entering Building 7 together before the strike on the South Tower at 9:03 a.m., Jennings and Hess were surprised to discover that the office had been abandoned. Receiving a phone call from his superior, Jennings was warned to leave the building immediately. Descending via the stairwell, Jennings and Hess reached the 6th floor before an explosion blew them back up to the 8th floor, trapping them inside the building. After 7 years of investigation, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, NIST, determined that the building had not come down due to explosives or controlled demolition, as many alleged, or due to structural damage from the collapse of the Twin Towers, an explosion in the building's fuel oil systems, or any of the other suggestions that had been put forward and retracted by NIST over the course of its investigation. Instead, NIST spokesman Shyam Sunder insisted that the building had collapsed due to ordinary office fires.
For the first time, we have shown that fire can induce a progressive collapse.
The commission's own co-chairman, Lee H. Hamilton, later admitted significant limitations, including restricted access to classified materials and pressure to produce a unified narrative that avoided rocking too many boats in Washington, D.C.
If it's an act of war and it's hiding things, which everyone on your commission knew that the Pentagon was changing their stories, lying to you, and it's a cover-up of an act of war, and under Article 3, Section 3 of the Constitution, it's treason. So unless we get to the very bottom of it, then we're still talking a treasonous exposition.
This is a longer conversation. I'm not sure you this would be ever get to the bottom of it.
We have to, or we can't save our country, sir.
I don't think, well, if that's the condition upon which we're going to be saving our country. There's a problem. It's a 30-year-old conspiracy.
The report's focus on systematic issues conveniently sidestepped naming names like Larry Silverstein.
I remember getting a call from the fire department commander telling me that they were not sure they were going to be able to contain the fire. I said, you know, we've had such a terrible loss of life. Maybe the smartest thing to do is pull it. And they made that decision to pull, and then we watched the building collapse.
And the rapid removal of debris before thorough forensic analysis could take place.
I'm also told that military heavy equipment will be brought in, bulldozers, cranes, things of that nature, to go in there as soon as they possibly can.
What ties these threads together is the persistent whisper that 9/11's
Gentlemen, you know the power of turmeric, but have you felt it? Have you tried the ultimate turmeric gummies? The delicious way to harness the ancient power of golden turmeric, supercharged with ginger root and black pepper for maximum impact. Each gummy delivers 125 milligrams of premium turmeric extract packed with curcumin, the clinically studied compound shown to support healthy inflammation response, ease everyday aches, and promote joint comfort so you can move through life with ease. We added real ginger root, trusted for centuries to calm digestion and soothe the stomach, plus a precise dose of black pepper extract with pepperine, proven to boost curcumin absorption by up to 2,000%. That means more of the good stuff actually gets where your body needs it. No capsules, no bitter aftertaste, just one tasty tropical-flavored gummy a day, or two if you're feeling extra, to help you feel lighter, looser, and more energized. Ultimate Turmeric Gummies, ancient wisdom meets modern science in the best-tasting form possible. Grab yours today and start feeling the ultimate difference in health with Ultimate Turmeric Gummies. Inflammation doesn't stand a chance. Get yours today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the American Journal. I am Brianne Morrell. We're glad that you're all jumping on with us today. It's been a heavy day in regards to everything going on with Jeffrey Epstein. I just keep hearing about Jeffrey Epstein everywhere I go. And, you know, I'm not liking what we're seeing here. The good news is, though, we have a jam-packed next 3 hours for you guys all at home right now. I'll be joined by Ann Vandersteel later in today's program. She's got a lot that she wants to discuss in regards to biometrics. And there's a lot there, especially if you're someone who uses Discord as well. They'll be trying to capture your biometrics. So she'll break down the latest on that. Kevin Smith is also going to be joining the program as well. He is a podcast host, and he's my fellow New Yorker. So I just like catching up with Kevin, having Kevin on for that purpose alone. But Kevin's got a lot that he also wants to discuss. And I look forward to talking to him. We have those two guests joining the program today. It's not just that, though. We got our eye on a couple of things going on right now. The heads of a lot of these massive departments, we're talking like ICE, Border Patrol, Immigration Services. Well, they're expected to testify today in front of the House Homeland Security Committee. Now, that's happening at 10 a.m. Eastern time today. We will jump to that once they begin asking the tough questions because, folks, I've got a lot of questions. I have a feeling Democrats are going to use this as a political opportunity just based on, you know, my gut instinct there. So we look forward to seeing what happens over there. We also will keep our eyes on President Trump because throughout the day, he's got a lot going on in the afternoon. His schedule is very light in the morning. It's very heavier in the afternoon, just so you know. That's my, what I've witnessed over these last few weeks. At 4:30 p.m. Eastern time, he is participating in a signing time. So we don't have the details on that. We just know that it's in the Oval Office and it's close to the press. Then later at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time, the president is participating in a policy meeting. And that, again, will be at the Oval Office and close to the media. But then at 7 p.m. Eastern time today, he's expected to participate in a private dinner, that being held, obviously, at the White House. And again, that is also closed to the media. So a lot happening there. Media won't be allowed access into, but we'll keep our eye in case anything does pop off on the president's agenda later today. We're also keeping our eye on a press conference that's expected to be had later this morning, actually, by Chuck Schumer and members of his team. So we will bring that to you when that also begins, because that's going to be a big one. There's all these rumors floating around out there as to what they're going to talk about. So we will bring that to you once it begins. But, of course, a lot happening on that front. Let's jump into the Epstein stuff, because this is... like every day I feel like I'm trying to keep up with what's happening, and there's a lot happening. But there wasn't a lot happening yesterday during the deposition, and I told you about that yesterday morning, and I warned you. I said, we're not going to really hear much. I have a feeling she's going to plead the fifth. And that's exactly what happened now. We officially have some of that audio that was recently released by the committee yesterday. Take a listen to this. This is how Ghislaine Maxwell's deposition went in clip one.
Ms. Maxwell, were you a close friend and confidant of Jeffrey Epstein?
I would like to answer your question, but on the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer this question and any related questions. My habeas petition is pending in the Southern District of New York. I therefore invoke my right to silence under the Fifth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution.
Let the record reflect that Ms. Maxwell has invoked the Fifth Amendment against self-incrimination. Ms. Maxwell, please be very clear. Are you declining to answer the question put to you solely on the ground that you believe the answer will incriminate you?
I invoke my Fifth Amendment right to silence.
Ms. Maxwell, did you at any time play any role in Jeffrey Epstein's activities involving the recruitment, grooming, or trafficking of young women or girls?
I invoke my Fifth Amendment right to silence.
Let the record reflect that Ms. Maxwell has invoked the Fifth Amendment against self-incrimination.
That did not go as, I guess, members of the House committee wanted it to go. She went on to repeatedly say that I plead the Fifth throughout the rest of the deposition. It folded in less than an hour. That was a virtual deposition, by the way, because she is in prison right now. It's actually a low security prison. She got a little bit of a cushy deal after she met with the deputy AG, Todd Blanche. And again, she's not willing to speak until she's provided with some form of a pardon, clemency, whatever the president will give her to get her out of there. Now, of course, President Trump knows this is an evil woman. And so it's highly unlikely that he's going to do any of that. He's actually just already moved on. I know a lot of people think, oh, maybe he'll probably not going to happen. The president is very clear that he's not happy with any of this and he's ready to move on and wants the rest of the country to do just that as well. But the rest of us dispute that. Now, yesterday, Thomas Massie held a press conference and it was quite the enlightening experience because obviously yesterday we told you also that members of Congress were going to be able to go view the unredacted Epstein files. So a lot of the key questions that you and I all had as to like, why are all these people's emails being, you know, redacted? Like, can't we just see the first name? It didn't seem to make any sense. Although the DOJ is claiming that they legally have to, I'd argue that probably not. I've seen documents before get released and they never redacted the email addresses, but obviously they're doing their very best to follow the law, I'm sure. But in clip two, you're going to listen to Thomas Massie, who is out here calling out all the nonsense that's going on behind the scenes. In fact, he apparently, when he was reviewing the information, he says there were six key names that were redacted in the Epstein files that shouldn't have been redacted. Take a listen to clip two.
Can you share with us the name of the six men that you identified?
I probably should do that from the floor or in a committee hearing.
Rubio.
Yeah, I would like to give the DOJ a chance to say they made a mistake and over-redacted and let them unredact those men's names. That would probably be the best way to do it.
So how much of the redacted?
So as many of you guys know, when you stand on the House floor and you make accusations, you are immune to civil liability. And that is probably why Thomas Massie is doing just that. Now, listen, folks, I'm not on board the Me Too movement, so I would want to make sure that those who are being accused are authentically, really, truly involved in this sexual assault. Well, these sexual assaults that took place on so many young women. But the reality of it is we continue to hear from these victims, and these victims aren't spilling names. Why aren't they doing so? Say their names. Say all of their names. I'm not a fan for what I see going on right now, and I know many of you at home aren't. You know, I get what Congressman Thomas Massie's doing, although I do believe he's someone who lives up to his own morals, and he tries his very best to carry through with that based on his moral compass. Obviously, I know a lot of people are critical and believe that this is now politically motivated, but the president is taking shots at his wife. So again, there's motive there to keep this going. But I have to say, I'm really impressed with what Congressman Thomas Massie's been doing so far, although I'm not a big fan of it happening on CNN and those kind of outlets, because we all know that they hate President Trump, and he's now often a fixture on outlets like CNN. I will say, though, that I do appreciate the pressure. These names shouldn't be redacted. We all know just that. And it really is truly frustrating that they won't say these names. They should be saying these names. They should be saying these names. Todd Blanche yesterday also was someone who was not very excited to see what was said in that press conference and what was also being said on X by Thomas Massie. Todd Blanche put this up saying, you looked at the document, you know, it's an email that was redacted. Again, he's claiming that the DOJ legally has to redact emails. And then he goes on to saying, you know who the person is. And then he says the person's name is later unredacted in other pieces of information. Now, I thought I put this clip in here, but it doesn't look like I did. But Thomas Massie was on CNN yesterday. I'll pull that up for you guys in a second. For now, though, let's play clip 11, because clip 11, that's the one. I did put it in there. Thanks, Dan. Let's get to clip 11, because this one I think is really, really telling. Take a listen.
An example of something, maybe it wasn't intentional on their part. I'd like to hear his take on the redaction of the CEO, who's listed as a co-conspirator in the 2019 child sex trafficking case.
So can I ask you, because, and I want to ask if this is the same person, Todd Blanche also said about that tonight, that the document you're citing there has victim names in it.
Correct.
To say that's why there are redactions. He said, we have just unredacted Les Wexner's name from this document, but his name already appears in the file thousands of other times, and he says the Justice Department is hiding nothing. Is that the retired CEO that you're referencing?
It is. He unredacted it after I found it. That's a problem, and I'm glad they have admitted they made a mistake by redacting that.
So you're saying it was redacted when you went in there today, and after you tweeted that, they unredacted it?
Correct. Now he's got four other names he needs to unredact. Did he respond to that? There's a list of 20 people. And there's four men in there that need to be unredacted. Here's another troubling thing that I found.
Can you say who those four men are tonight?
I don't think they're well known. And so if I did, it wouldn't matter, but I could probably say them on the floor of the House. But I'll give the DOJ a chance to do what they did in these two examples, where I've discovered something and now they've responded.
Now, obviously, Thomas Massie is trying to limit the legal liability that he might have in civil court by making names or by stating names. That is something, again, that I am extremely cautious about all the time. Because, again, folks, people love to sue in this country. And so you have to be very, very cautious. So I understand why he's forcing the DOJ to say it. That's the problem right now. Obviously, the DOJ is fired up, not very, very happy with Congressman Thomas Massie for going out there and being very persistent every single day. So he has to watch his back, and I'm on board for that. I understand why he has to do just that. And I think it's interesting, when you apply a little bit of pressure, they do eventually admit, all right, maybe you caught us there. Maybe you caught us there. Now, again, there's over, what, 3.2, 0.5 million pages that have been dumped out onto the web. So I understand that there's going to be some errors. But they've had over a year to prepare for this. I mean, this was a campaign commitment. This only was forced out because, of course, they had to push through legislation to do just that. I want to turn, and this is what we briefly discussed yesterday, because this is also super important. But the congressman who's also teaming up with Thomas Massie, Congressman Khanna, says that he's from California, by the way. I'd say he's more of a moderate on certain issues, especially when it comes, he's been fair in some issues, I'll say, for a Democrat at least. That's a very low bar, though. He believes, though, that this Epstein scandal is actually going to go and now threaten the British establishment, not just here in the U.S. Again, folks, this is also what he's saying is going to happen in the U.K. as well. Take a listen to clip three.
Mandelson may bring down the whole government, from what I hear. He just engaged in terrible behavior. I mean, the allegations are very serious that he was working for Gordon Brown and then feeding information about UK possibly buying euros and having Epstein trade on that. I mean, it is a deeply, deeply troubling. And, you know, Epstein's, I saw this interview with Epstein's former girlfriend talking about how someone is a loser if they weren't mentioned in the Epstein files. It's a window into the elite impunity, this club. And by the way, I think this is the most vulnerable the British monarchy has ever been. I mean, I heard they were asking the Queen questions about the Epstein class. They ought to ask the King and Queen questions, and maybe this will be the end of the monarchy.
Yeah, so this isn't probably going to be the end of the monarchy, but gosh, does it blow it open? It absolutely does. It absolutely does. Now, again, we got our eye on a bunch of other things that are taking place as well. And I find it to be really fascinating, honestly, when we go through all of this. And we'll play a clip with Ann Vandersteel as well in regards to how this will affect big tech. Because I was watching yesterday in Parliament in the UK what was going on the floor. And there was a lot of back and forth being being had and spoken on the floor yesterday. We'll be talking about that, though, and the effects it's going to have in the UK as well with Ann Vandersteel in just a little bit. That'll be in the second hour of the program. But again, there is a lot that's happening right now, and it's not just affecting us here in the United States. It is affecting those overseas because the corruption is starting to be exposed piece by piece. And the fact that they all knew about this, they were all participants in this. Folks, the government's going to continue to dump millions and millions of documents onto the rest of the people and tell us there's nothing here. Then why would the DOJ and the FBI gather 3.5 million pages of documents if there was nothing there? There's obviously something there that they're not telling you about. It was also reported, too, this was by Congresswoman Luna yesterday. She's claiming that Ghislaine Maxwell is claiming to be a victim of Jeffrey Epstein. Now, keep in mind, we broke that story to you about how Jeffrey Epstein actually used her for, well, brought her into this country on an H-1B. So now she's claiming to be a victim. Ain't that something? She seems to look like she was living a high life during all of this, though. I don't know if I'd call that a victim. By the way, when it comes to why we're not hearing from victims and specifically the names of the individuals that they are accusing of sexually abusing them, I know a lot of them tend to believe that they will have they're in civil jeopardy, that they could potentially be sued. Elon Musk actually came out in a tweet saying that he's willing to pay for their legal fees if something does come about. So he wants these victims to speak out. He wants them to do that. And he is willing and a willing participant in all of this to fight back. And says if something does happen, then yes, I will, in fact, pay their legal fees. So he's on board with getting down with the truth. And I think that's really, really critical in all of this. Really, really critical in all of this. So let's see. We should be having a Chuck Schumer. I'm waiting for the details on that. Chuck Schumer is expected to speak later this morning as well. We'll get you those details, though, when we do have them. But I have a feeling, I think we were talking about this a little bit before the show, just to verify though, we'll get you those details, that it might have something to do with sex trafficking, which would be quite the interesting revelation if true. Speaking of that, I want to get to this clip because Alan Dershowitz, obviously, Epstein's attorney, he has been very, very stern in denying any allegations that he himself was involved in sexually abusing young girls on Epstein Island and throughout his time with Jeffrey Epstein. And he's getting fired up. He's upset, though, because the people who he says are accusing him, the women who are accusing him, or the specific one female is accusing him, he doesn't know who his accuser's name is, which obviously is a constitutional violation, of course, but they're not in a criminal courtroom. Take a listen to clip four on what has Dershowitz fired up.
McCarthyism that has afflicted America since the 1950s. When you look at this paper that has been reproduced and sent by the Justice Department, it's called Prominent Names. And it's a list of prominent people who have been accused. Every single name of every accuser has been blacked out. So, for example, let's turn to me. It says blank, 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 blacked out, stated she gave him a massage on Epstein's plane, parenthesis, not a minor. So let's understand that. This is an adult, a woman who was on Epstein's plane. She says, I was never on an Epstein plane with a young woman.
Right.
I never got a massage. This is total defamation, a total lie, but I can't disprove it because they won't give me her name. That's McCarthyism. On the issue of his spying let me continue.
Let's get
on
to
the
that.
Issue of his for the Mossad, that comes from what is called an undercover confidential source. I happen to know who the source is. The source is somebody who the FBI investigated, found to be totally incredible, lacked all credibility. This is the worst form of McCarthyism. Why are we tolerating this? Why are we allowing accusations without the names of the accusers? For example, in my case, it's an adult woman. We don't know whether she's a victim. We don't know whether she's a perpetrator. We don't know whether she's a co-conspirator. Why do you hide her name and produce the name of the people who are accused? That's guilt by accusation. That's guilt by association. It's McCarthyism. It's wrong. It's unconstitutional. It has to stop.
Obviously, he should know who's accusing him of a crime. I would highly encouraged that he finds out. I don't know why we're going to hide that from him. But again, he's not being criminally charged in any case. But again, he's been accused by others. I mean, Alan Dershowitz has been fired about this for quite some time. I remember when I was actually working at Newsmax, we were just like, don't even talk about Epstein. They didn't want to talk about Epstein because they could get him fired up. But obviously, folks, it's a lot of questions. Americans want to find out the answers to a lot of this. And rightfully so. We're going to keep following it, obviously, as it continues to develop. A lot of people are fired up, and we've got our eye on it. We've got our eye on it. Folks, I want to shift gears over a little bit to a couple more interesting stories that we have our eye on. I don't know if you guys saw this yesterday, but the DOJ actually put in a motion yesterday to have that contempt of Congress charge against Steve Bannon completely dismissed. They're looking just to get it tossed out right now. Now, Bannon, obviously, as many of you guys know, served prison time, but he was appealing. And so this would wipe out that appeal because now the DOJ is admitting that they shouldn't have charged Bannon in the first place. Judge Pirro, as many of you guys know, she's the D.C. attorney, cites that this shouldn't have happened in the first place and it actually in the best interest of justice, dismissing this criminal charge against Steve Bannon is for the best of the interest of justice, I guess how they're trying to phrase it. Interesting. The timing on everything is quite interesting. Again, I mean, I'm not saying that Steve Bannon is guilty of anything, but obviously his name is coming up often in the Epstein files as well. And just something to keep your eye on there. Again, I want to hear more from people who are whose names are being dropped in these Epstein files. Because I told you, I was here on this show, I understand, and I'm not going to sit here and jump down their backs and say, I know you did something, because I don't know. But I do truly believe that we do need to have these people brought in, and we need to ask them some tough questions. Under oath, bring them in, and let's talk about it. It's what the American people need right now. Folks, I want to direct you right now to the alexjonesstore.com, because we have an incredible sale going on right now. This is the limited time bundles. You support us is what keeps us on air. When you support the broadcast, you get real value. And we're doing just that right now. Ultimate Gut and Brain Bundle right now. When you bundle up some of your favorite products over at the alexjonesstore.com, like methylene red, methylene blue, and obviously colostrum, you're going to get an incredible discount. That means when you bundle these up, you guys are getting 50% off. Now, again, that's really, really impressive. So normally this would be a value of about $209. Closer to $210, I'd say. And now we're cutting that in half. Actually, more than half. You're getting it at $99.99. So head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com. It's the ultimate gut and brain bundle. And this is going to be incredible for both of something. Let's just say you're someone who's trying to decrease the amount of brain fog you have every day. This is the bundle you're going to want. So head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com and make sure you snag that. Now, we also have another incredible deal as well. The Modern World Survival Stack. This is Rebuilt, Reloaded, and Defend. That is what this bundle is all about. It's normally about $185, but you're going to get it for about a little less than $90 right now. Keats, just so you guys know, the package includes the sea moss capsules, Atomic Defense, and the Shilajit complex as well. So you got to head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and snag these bundles. It's an incredible package deal that you're going to get exclusively over at thealexjonesstore.com. When you support us, we support you. I'm going to give you this incredible value. So head on over to the shop right now. If you haven't done so, try these suggested packages out. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. 50% off for the time being over at thealexjonesstore.com.
All right, I'm going to be very clear about this. I've done an hour and a half of live broadcasts that have not plugged one time. You're not going to get economic, cultural, military, spiritual analysis like this anywhere else. It's not a power trip. I've been blessed by God with the best crew, the best guests, the best intel. But it's up to you to boost this information. All I ask is that you share the live feeds, you share the articles. We get shut down early next month, which is, I haven't made the announcement yet, but this is it. God keeps coming through with miracles, but it just looks like it. You'll see major movement soon. I'll just stop there. It's okay. But I'm asking all of you that have been on the fence, you share articles, videos, wonderful, keep doing it. I thank you, humbly. I'm not mad you never supported us financially, but the products are great. I'm asking everyone to do one thing. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and one click, become a VIP for $30 a month. Now, you instantly get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers, everything. It's a discount when you do that. It's just like Amazon Prime. But let's just say you don't want ultramethylene blue or Shilajit or Irish sea moss or bovine colostrum. That's so incredible. Not a sexy name, but sexy results. Maybe you don't want to get any of the great Patriot t-shirts. Just be a VIP every month. A donation of $30 to our sponsor, Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones Backup Network and the site. There's all sorts of behind the scenes attacking them. They're big boys too. You know, Nate was pardoned by the president for trying to save a woman on J6. He did save her. But I mean, these are patriots. Just go to the site, upper right hand corner, VIP club. Just commit. You can cancel any time, so it's not much of a commitment. But each month you charge $30 on the first day of the month. Just be a VIP. Pledge to us $30 a month. You've got NPR and PBS getting billions of dollars a year from the feds and then begging constantly for your money to shovel communism and pedophilic garbage on you. We just sell you the very best supplements you've ever seen, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, badass knives, and we're swinging for the fences. I'm totally committed. I've given up 95% of my assets, which weren't ever that big. I could care less. Actually, I'm actually happier not having a few things to deal with. But the point is that we're now up against the wall. So I need you to simply become a VIP. And then you got a bad month, whatever the issue is, cancel. And then you get more money in a few months. You know, say you're like blue collar, whatever, hardworking person, totally respectable, the bedrock of this country, $30 a month, you get a little bit of problem, cancel. It's free. And then a few months later, things are going well again, become a VIP again. But for all you middle class people and all you wealthy people that aren't investing in the fight against the tyrants, you are crazy. All of you that have means should be a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com. It's just a $30 donation. If you don't want to spend the $40 you get to buy great products and just want to let it, you can be a member and just pile up $40 each month. And at the end of the year, what's 12 months? You know, you spent X and then gotten way more in and then, you know, do all your Christmas shopping. I don't care how you do it. I'm just saying, become a VIP. One click. Hit one button. I'm an attack dog, folks. I'm born for this. I'm bred for this. I love this. I'm fearless other than failure. I have no fear. All I'm saying is please become a VIP right now at thealexjonesstore.com. That's the simple commitment. VIP, VIP, VIP. And that's the term they use for it. I would call it Paul Revere Fund. I would call it tip of the spear. There's nowhere you can support where you're getting bigger results against the enemy. Bang for the buck. And it's just true. I'm not bragging. I'm very humble. I am your weapon. I am committed to you like a dog is to its owner. I mean, it's true. I am your servant. I am here to defend you and defend your family and defend your freedom because I'm defending mine as well and we're all in this together. You understand? I am so committed to you at the very base of my soul. And I just simply want to see you awaken in the info war. And there's nowhere better with one simple move than being a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. How's everyone doing today?
I'm doing good.
Doing good. It was kind of a slow news cycle a little bit, right? There's like a lot of Epstein stuff going on out there. I also forgot to mention President Trump was vindicated yet again. One of the other files that was dropped, the document that was released, shows that actually President Trump was one of the first people to come forward and say that he knew Ghislaine Maxwell and Epstein were a problem. And that comes from a former law enforcement officer who put that in the docs, obviously. The mainstream media won't tell you about that one, but I definitely should be the one to tell you about that one. I know a lot of people out there like to accuse the president of being a part of all of this, although I will say his response has been improper. It has not been appropriate. It has been something that I obviously condemn, but the reality of it is they try to sit there and try to create a direct lineage to Epstein and President Trump, and that's not the case. But folks, they're getting caught in their own lies. No one's gonna run that story. No one's gonna run the fact that he was the very first individual, one of the first individuals to call Epstein out and to let local law enforcement know that, yeah, this is actually a problem. But let's shift gears a little bit. You know, when it comes to people I strongly dislike, I don't hate anyone, but I definitely think Piers Morgan's a fraud. I definitely think Piers Morgan's a fraud. Piers Morgan has told you, the American people, and Brits as well, a lot of things that have been not true. He pushes, obviously, propaganda for the big pharma machine, for the establishment. He is someone who plays it safe. He now wants to appear like he's somewhat controversial. And so he has a bunch of controversial guests on his show, but he's poorly informed. And as through many interviews that he's done over the last few years, you could tell that whenever he's pushed back on, he usually collapses. Now, I don't like Piers Morgan. I actually think that, and this is my opinion, I do believe that he is someone who is being used to try to win over a conservative audience, maybe, you know, your Fox News audience, and to make it appear like he is favorable towards conservatives, but he's not. He's not. He's the one who went out there and demonized individuals for wanting to stand up for their medical freedom by not participating in an experimental vaccine experience that so many Americans now have sadly either lost their lives over or they have long-term health issues with. Piers Morgan wanted you to think that just because you wanted to just hold off and wait, that you were a bad person. You were a very bad person. Piers Morgan, I think, is an awful human being. And so I've declined several times going on his show just because I don't think he's a good person. I think he's the reason why the UK is one of the many reasons the UK was invaded by foreigners. He's been a coward on so many issues. And you know it's bad when it's Megyn Kelly calling Piers Morgan out to his face, because Piers Morgan wants to lecture the rest of us about how we should all just tolerate things like what you saw at the Super Bowl. Or you probably didn't see it because you're smart enough to turn the channel. But yesterday he had a discussion with Megyn Kelly, and I got to give Megyn Kelly credit when credit's due, and this was a good one. She puts Piers Morgan in his place. And again, this is what happens because Piers Morgan is such a coward, poorly informed, can't actually hold up his own arguments because they're not his own personal arguments. He's just, in my opinion, speaking for the machine. Take a listen to clip 5.
I'm sorry, Piers, but to get up there and perform the whole show in Spanish is a middle finger to the rest of America. Who gives a damn that we have 40 million Spanish speakers in the United States? We have 310 million who don't speak a lick of Spanish. This is supposed to be a unifying event for the country, not for the Latinos, not for one small group, but for the country. We don't need a black national anthem. We don't need a Spanish speaking, non-English performing performer. And we don't need an ICE or America hater featured as our primetime entertainment.
Okay, what is the national language, officially, the national language of the United States of America?
I mean, English. And there's been a push many years to make it an official documented thing.
You don't have one.
If you would have let me finish my comment, I would have pointed that out, but people have been pushing to make it official.
Okay, right, so you're trying to make official.
This attitude that you have right here is why you in Great Britain have lost your culture. You ceded your culture to a bunch of radical Muslims who came in and took over, and now it's gone. We're not allowing that here, whether it's Hispanic, whether it's Muslim. It's not happening in the United States of America. That's why President Trump was elected. And whether it's Bad Bunny, who is American but refuses to speak English in his performances, or anybody else, we have to keep the Super Bowl, which is a quintessential American event. Football, that kind of football, is ours. They call it American football. And the halftime show and everything around it needs to stay quintessentially American. Not Spanish, not Muslim, not anything other than good old-fashioned American apple pie. There should be a meatloaf, maybe some fried chicken, and an English-speaking performer. That's what the Super Bowl should be.
Yeah, okay, I'm going to pass on the meatloaf. Fried chicken depends. But folks, she's spot on. That's why you saw Piers Morgan shut his mouth and get back in his little cuck chair. That is what Piers Morgan is all about. Piers Morgan is a traitor to his own people. In fact, his country has turned into a hellhole that he's actually fled, and he also does actually live here in the United States. Now, I think Piers Morgan should be forced to live in the UK full time. We shouldn't allow him to stay here in the US. He should be forced to live there full time. He is a horrible person. A horrible person. You see, he loves to go out there and lecture the rest of us, and he smirks and he loves, what's your national language? The national language, Piers, is English. And I'm just so fed up with them pretending like they have some righteous path they should just sit here and lecture the rest of us on. No, Piers. You're a pile of garbage. my disliking, and I don't hate anyone, again, besides, you know, pedophiles and communists, my disliking for Piers Morgan is actually very, very strong. I think he's a horrible person. I think he's a person who's done exactly whatever he had to do to get by so he gets to have his little platform. He pretends to have controversial guests on. They always flame him, though. Why? Because he's low IQ, because he doesn't know what he's talking about, because he just sticks to the talking points, and then behind it all, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. Again, I've been asked to go on a show, and I don't do it. Why? Because I think he is a... probably can't say that word. I think he's an absolute fool. And that's me putting it nicely. That's me putting it nicely. It's just so infuriating that people like Piers Morgan think that they need to lecture the rest of us about how we need to live our lives. No, no, no. We don't need to take anything from Piers Morgan. Your country has been absolutely destroyed. Your girls can't even walk on the streets anymore without fears of being sexually abused by the radical Muslims that you brought into your country. I wouldn't even say radical. I just totally tossed the front word out. The Muslims you brought into your country. The reality of it is they've destroyed their own country. They continue to do just that. And he can't cover it for anymore. He's been the one trying to lie to you, make you feel bad. Make you feel bad. You want to keep your country white? How dare you? How dare you? Guy's an absolute fool. An absolute fool. There's not a grosser face in TV. And the only way, again, women aren't, and this is another thing too, unless you're on The View, that's the one exception to this rule. But women have to be semi-attractive not to be in TV. I know people don't like to hear this, but this is the truth. You got to work out. You can't be overweight. Unless, again, you're on The View. But the bar is significantly lower for Piers Morgan. Piers Morgan is allowed to be as unattractive as he wants. Have female breasts. They allow him to do that because, well, he spews their talking points. So good on Megyn Kelly. A win's a win. A dunk's a dunk. And she did just that to the repulsive Piers Morgan. If you ever want to get me fired up, ask me about Piers Morgan. Ask me how I truly feel. Ask me when we're not on radio. You'll get a very uncensored response in that case. Folks, remember when the Biden regime told you that children were not being trafficked into this country and they tried to lie about the thousands of children that actually were being trafficked in? Well, time and time again, we see more pieces of evidence that kids were being purchased and still are to this day. This next story is going to have your stomach turn. There's an individual who's apparently a registered sex offender. This comes from the Daily Wire. A registered sex offender paid smugglers to bring a child across the border from Honduras. And was luckily stopped before this young girl was given to him. This is all thanks, according to this Daily Wire reporter, to the Trump crackdowns on the sponsorship programs for unaccompanied alien children. According to the court documents, the child who made the journey with her mother but was separated before crossing into the country was rescued before she ended up in the hands of an Alaska man, Douglas Price. Now, apparently he's a registered sex offender who has a rap sheet. That poor mother, that poor daughter, who knows what they told him, what lie they told him. Price paid roughly $5,000 to fund the mother and daughter to the dangerous journey, which was our border, through payments from his business, Black Bear Construction. He allegedly sent those funds to a phone number provided by the smugglers. Price was also sent photos of himself to the mother and inquired about the daughter's status. What an absolute pig. Folks, if convicted, this man should be just dragged straight to the chair. I'm so fed up with how soft we go on crime in this country. Thank God they stepped in and caught this. Thank God. So many children were smuggled into this country, thousands. I think the number was somewhere from 400 to 450. That's 1,000, by the way. Migrant children that were shuffled to this country. And nothing ever happened there, right? Who's going to prison? No one. Now, according to reports, and we're keeping our eye on this, and I'm sure he's got something up his sleeve, but Senator Chuck Schumer is introducing a bill to remove statute of limitation from sex trafficking crimes. Now he's expected to speak, and we'll bring it to you at 9:30. Sorry, it's going to be 10:30 Eastern time. Now, I can only imagine why he's doing that, folks. As someone who, if focused, I mean, my original beat was reporting on New York. As many of you guys know that they lifted the civil liability, the civil portions of a lot of these sex crime laws, so that you could accuse someone. There was no statute of limitation anymore. And they had like an exemption for a full year where you could file a claim. And it was specifically carved out for what you saw unravel against President Donald Trump. They wanted him to be accused of being a sexual abuser in court. Obviously, they had no physical evidence, so they couldn't get him in a criminal courtroom. So they decided to manipulate the laws in New York and to drag him into civil court. Now, it backfired, though. So I'm going to give you the background on it. It backfired because people like Andrew Cuomo, who was on board with all of this when he thought it was exclusively going to go after President Trump, people like Andrew Cuomo found themselves wrapped up into all of it. Why? Because, well, Andrew Cuomo is a creep. I even had my friends have personal dealings with Cuomo. He didn't discriminate. He also went after conservative women as well. Dude's a creep. But he thought he was immune because he thought, oh, this is going to be used against Trump. And it wasn't. It was also used to go after him as well. But folks, this is what they do. Now, hear me out. I am all on board with those who were sexually abused to come forward, to have their day in court, to seek their justice. I believe, though, these claims should be heard in a criminal courtroom before they ever make their way into civil. Because, again, we've seen it time and time again. So many women falsely claim that they are sexually abused. They go after people. They go after their reputation, target them. And these cases would never make their way into a criminal courthouse. Why? Because there's no physical evidence. There's no actual evidence of a sexual assault. And we've seen this time and time again. Women coming forward, accused of something, and they come forward and they accuse these men of something, and they destroy their entire lives. And at the time, I mean, it's just a prime example. As many of you guys know, I used to cover baseball. Trevor Bauer was at his top of his game, had just won Cy Young, which for those of you who don't follow baseball, is one of the top awards that one could actually win. He was accused by a woman of sexual assault. Now, I, for one, was one of them who was like, oh my, this looks like this happened. She had the medical records. There was bruising. There were photos that I myself was completely infuriated when I saw the details. But it wasn't until Trevor Bauer dragged that woman to civil court, was able to get a look at the phone that she was using, got his hands on the metadata, and found that a lot of the images that she took from even inside of his home showed that she was fine. And so his team accused this woman of lying to the public, but most importantly, staging it. Now, the woman did get a settlement, but it was from, I believe it was her insurance company, if I'm not mistaken. He didn't pay out a dime. But his reputation was forever ruined, and everything started crumbling. Everyone started realizing, oh, he actually might have not abused women. And the only reason why we know this now is because Trevor Bauer fought back, and he sued this woman, and he got his hands on her metadata, something that law enforcement didn't do for him. So my point is this. I mean, Trevor Bauer has never been able to come back to Major League Baseball. For my sources, the wives don't want him on any of the teams. They still view him as toxic, even though he's proven that he did not sexually abuse any of these women. And so there's that. Specifically, though, let me just highlight the point that the lawsuit itself highlighted that one woman, and I should have had her on. I know Sarah Gonzalez had her on the show afterwards and grilled her. But this is the problem, right? Because there are thousands and thousands of children who are abused in this country. And so I'm not on board for allowing there to be an avenue for those with false claims to come forward and make these claims publicly about people and men not being able to defend themselves. I'm not on board with any of that, but I am on board with those who want to make claims to come forward and present their evidence because that is acceptable. And we need to tell people more often that you need to, in case you are sexually assaulted, you need to gather as much physical evidence as possible. But the fact, and this is what's going on now, Chuck Schumer thinks that they're going to somehow, some way, get rid of the statute of limitation on sex trafficking crimes. Do it, Chuck Schumer. I dare you. I dare you. Why? Because the Biden regime was one of the biggest, biggest allies to sex traffickers. I'd actually say they were probably in on all of it, considering the fact that they were shuffling around children anywhere from, what, 400,000 to 450,000 migrant children that got lost in this country. Many of them now sex trafficked, maybe had their organs harvested. We don't know. Can't find them. I think the administration, this current administration, has only found about 100,000 children so far. Where are those freaking children? And why isn't anyone actually asking these tough questions? Chuck Schumer, if you want to sit here and waive any statute of limitation on sex trafficking charges, I dare you. I dare you to do it. In fact, I would say Republicans should get on board, because that means that members of the Biden-Obama regime are going to go to prison, if we're actually doing this properly. And we could do this. We could drag this on. If they want to wait a couple more years, perfect. Perfect. I'd have to look into what the current statute of limitation on a lot of these laws are. I'm sure I'm going to wait for his press conference to be had so we could listen in and see what he's specifically citing. But folks, Chuck Schumer is only doing this not because he cares about sex trafficking and the victims. He's doing this. There's probably some backhanded movement in all of this to go after President Trump. They're going to claim that he had some part in it. I mean, I'm not saying that that's what's being made right now, but I can promise you they don't do anything for nothing. These people are scum. These people are scum. So that press conference will begin at 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. We'll bring it to you as it begins. But I could promise you nothing will good probably will come from it. Because why is Chuck Schumer doing this now? Oh, it's convenient. Right before midterms. Makes sense. All right, let's dive into this. This one gets me also fired up. I'm just fired up on a lot of fronts right now, but I'm so fed up with these Republicans who think that they are somehow exclusive when it comes to the government spying on them. A lot of these individuals were ones that supported FISA. So they'll support FISA. They support a lot of the mass surveillance that goes on in this country. In fact, they continue to fund agencies like TSA when TSA is sending your biometrics to DHS, illegally storing it, lying to the American people. These senators support it, and that's on both sides of the aisle. They're both scum. Bill Hagerty is a senator, obviously, as many of you guys know, and he's fired up. He's angry because why? Well, Bill thinks that he shouldn't be spied on by the government. And so he's fired up. He's actually calling for the FCC to initiate an investigation into Verizon for handing over the phone records of certain politicians. GOP lawmakers. In a post, he did just that. He outlined that Verizon broke my trust. Bill, no. They illegally shared my data. And the CEO of Verizon won't respond to him. No, Bill. Why do you guys think you guys are a part of an elite class that should be exempt from being spied on? Why should the American people tolerate being spied on by our government? But you, Bill, am I going to call him senator? Let's just call him Bill. Let's bring him down a little bit because he's on his high horse right now. Bill thinks that he should be exempt from the United States federal government spying on him, from Jack Smith, the special prosecutor, spying on him. Now, first off, Verizon was subpoenaed to hand over these records. Okay. Now, whether or not I always believe companies should fight back on these subpoenas, but whether or not they choose to do so is up to them. It's completely up to them. But if they're handed a legal document, then yes, they can go about giving them those records. They don't have to legally fight back. That is up to them. And so when Bill comes out here and tells you, it's just like, you know, Lindsey Graham, another name that will get your blood boiling on this beautiful Tuesday morning. Lindsey Graham is another one. He's so upset. Jack Smith spied on me. Yeah, buddy. Get over it. They spied on all of us. You know, and the Obama regime was spying on journalists, several journalists, whether you're at the AP, whether you're at Fox News, whether you were Cheryl Atkinson. Guess what? They didn't speak up for any of them. Cheryl Atkinson, by the way, still fighting that. That happened to Barack Obama, and our current administration is still making her fight that case. She knows they spied on her. She has all the evidence. I've done interviews with her. She's great. But man, oh man. No one seems to care. Unless you spy on senators. They are above us all. And so Now they're calling for a probe by the FCC. How about you just say, yeah, well, we actually don't support mass surveillance against anyone. Yesterday, too, by the way, we shared that article with you about how Democrats are now fired up because they're worried about the body cams that ICE agents might start getting. They're supposed to be getting. Because they're afraid that their biometrics might be stored in some database that might be put on a list. Welcome to InfoWars, folks. We've been talking about this for years. Years. The government already has your biometrics. Everyone has your biometrics. I push back still at the airport because it's about principle. About principle. Sure, I just thought that was really funny. All right, I want to shift gears a little bit. Besides, you know, talking about the people that pretend to be allies in this big fight. They only fight for themselves, not the rest of us, though. Let's shift gears a little bit. There was a judge, Judge Tracy Davis, who's being covered by the local news in Louisville because, well, she's decided that she doesn't like a recommended sentence for an individual who was sent or was convicted of being a rapist and a kidnapper. So this individual, the recommended prison sentence for this individual was 65 years. But Judge Tracy Davis, even though the individual, the convict, the rapist is not asking for any mercy, in fact, the exact opposite. Well, Davis is obviously a race baiter. And she's trying her best to advocate for this rapist who just happens to be a black man. And although he's literally saying, I don't want your empathy, F off, she still is empathetic towards his rapist. Take a listen to clip six.
Judge Davis thought the jury's recommendation was too long. She feels he hasn't mentally matured yet and never had a real shot at getting any help early in life.
But if you were to come in here, and instead of being hurt and angry, which is what this court hears, right, as a 20-year-old African-American male that has been, you know, experienced this society, et cetera, and you would show that, yes, okay, this is the situation. This is who I am. I don't want to be this person anymore. I don't want to be in jail forever.
Thompson repeatedly stated he did not care, not about his sentence, the victim, or her family. But Judge Davis emphasized she's the one that holds the pen, and regardless of what the media may think, she applies the law. To her, 65 years was an extremely long time. As she puts it, it's his whole life, one she doesn't believe should be spent entirely behind bars.
This court does not believe that Mr. Thompson, if given the resources that he can get while incarcerated, is beyond being rehabilitated.
These people are treasonous pigs. Take her off the bench. She's a fool. Folks, we'll be right back with more to discuss in just a bit.
We sell the best supplements, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, and knives at theauctionstore.com. And they had some awesome daggers and awesome trench knives, and that's all great. But I said, I want a wide selection of high quality folding knives, flip knives, you name it, so people have a one-stop shop. They got in a few thousand knives a few months ago. They sold out very quickly, four or five great designs. They got a bigger shipment in just the last 2 days. Our sponsor, just really top-flight knives. These knives, this knife right here you see in the green, highest quality Damascus steel, all of it, these sell in stores for $75 all day. We're selling for $40, $40-something bucks, okay? So look at that flip. Flips right out. Got a nice little, you know, my signature on it, real small. Nice little memento to support the broadcast. That is a really nice knife. It clips on to your belt buckles. We have it in the green. We have it in the murdered out black. We have it also in silver without it being blacked out. Those are great knives. Those are the new designs. Now, those 200 left of the Skull Crusher World War II trench knife with the Spartan tip of the spear. So they held those back. Those are available. A little bit left they held back in their overstock of the Fire With Its Beauty. But this is a really cool knife. Alex Jones Phantom Folding Knife. Limited stock of that came back in. Also, the Alex Jones Burnt Orange Folding Knife. And this is the knife that sold out the quickest of any knife. They got 500 of these. 1,000 now just came in. The first one sold out like in hours. Alex Jones Ring Blade. I guess those are popular. This is something I didn't really call for, but it's awesome. Got that ring on the back. Got the deal. It's really nice. Those are all back in stock right now. at thealexshowstore.com. While you're at it, get methylene blue, Irish sea moss, and more. And check out the Patriot Apparel, thealexshowstore.com.
Today, Anne Vandersteel will be joining us in a few moments. Many of you guys know she's an independent journalist, but I want to talk to her about biometrics, specifically what's happening with Discord. Discord's going to be doing this new age verification thing. They're going to be asking for your biometrics. It's quite fascinating, folks. That's what we've been talking about for a very long time now. This is going to be a major, major issue. A lot of these companies looking to grab your biometrics. What do they do with it? Well, we got a lot of questions on that front. And will be joining us for that. And will also be joining us to discuss the latest regarding, obviously, Jeffrey Epstein, the files that have been dumped out lately. And we'll be talking about what's going on in the UK as well. Because Palantir was brought up yesterday during their UK parliament. I guess it's like a hearing. It had to do with Keir Starmer. Obviously, there's calls for his resignation. So we'll be talking about that because there was an interesting meeting that was brought up during that. And I want to make sure that we talk about that in regards to the Palantir. So we'll be doing that in a little bit. Folks, we'll be taking your calls, too, as well throughout the rest of the show. 877-789-2539 is the number you're going to want to call. Again, that's 877-789-2539. That is the number to call in and join the show. We'll be diving in and out of calls, of course, for this next, I guess I'd say like an hour of the program. So if you want to join the program, do just that. Give us a call, 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539 is the number to call. There's a lot going on all around the country, too, to buckle in on. We'll bring you the latest on the MAHA movement because there's a lot happening there. I was very happy to hear about RFK calling out all the nonsense, specifically the nonsense that's going on right now with what's in our food. What's in our food? He's specifically going over, though, the fact that our adversaries are trying to poison us through our food. And so we'll play that clip for you in a bit as well. I want to play this clip for you. It's a good laugh. It's a good laugh. It's clip 9. And it's interesting because it has to do with a woman who's obviously a swatter, or squatter would be the term, sorry. Squatter. But her lawyer is absolutely horrendous. And this gave me a good chuckle when I was watching this. This comes from a Sinclair affiliate in Baltimore. They put this package together where they confronted the individual who's accused of living in a multi-million-dollar home. And her lawyer doesn't even deny it. Doesn't even deny it. Take a listen to clip 9.
Get out my face.
Ma'am, why are you in a $2.5 million property?
After months of delays, Good was convicted on all counts on January 22nd, sentenced to 90 days in prison. Pollard continues to face extradition for multiple vehicle theft related crimes in Pennsylvania. 11 days later, Good was released on appeal on February 2nd after posting a $5,000 cash bond. Activities at the house started again soon after her release. For days, a woman wearing similar shoes and green pants was seen moving in and out of the alleged Bethesda squatter home. We spoke with Alex Webster about his client.
Look, there's a question. It's really the number one question on everybody's mind. How would your client, Ms. Tamika Good, get inside a $2.3 million property?
Cut. I don't know if I can answer that. Allegedly. Can I cut?
We're rolling. We're rolling, my friend. Yeah.
All right, can you re-ask the question?
Sure, absolutely. So the number one question on everybody's mind is how your client, Ms. Tamika Good, got into a $2.3 million property.
Well, Ms. Good did her research. She found out that a certain property was under the control of a certain group, and that there was a title issue. Due to the title issue, she was able to assume the property under squatter's rights.
So, in Maryland, there isn't a particular squatter right. Am I missing something?
Well, it's not a particular squatter's right, but it's known as squatter rights.
Ah, That's a really crappy attorney, folks. I mean, he's like a child. You hire a man that looks like that, you better expect to get convicted on whatever they're accusing you of. Oh, man. Those damn squatters, folks. All right, folks, we got more happening in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere. And Vander Steele joining the program in just a moment.
I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is Forest Green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's a new Patriot Silver folding knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today on this beautiful Tuesday morning. All right, we're going to be kicking off the second hour of the program. And if you want to join the show and talk about the news topics we've discussed either today or yesterday, the number is 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. That's the number you want to call into if you'd like to chat with us, specifically me, though, and maybe my guys in the control room, too. You can talk to them as well. All right, folks, I want to talk about a story that I detailed briefly yesterday about. Discord is going to start using age verification programs. Now, what does that mean? Well, that usually means the biometric grab. Starting next month, they're going to have some new, according to them, it's like a teen by default policy that is starting in March, will automatically apply age-appropriate restrictions to all accounts worldwide unless verified that they are adults. And that's the reason why they're looking to do just that. The age verification process itself is kind of like as many of you guys have probably seen it, because there's a lot of government servers that actually ask for this, where they ask for your facial biometrics. And then they try to verify it with a government document as well. Now, obviously, as many of you guys know, I've been critical of Discord because I'm very concerned as to what's going on there. It's very clear that when we look at terror attacks happening here on the homeland itself, there's usually a Discord connection, whether communications start there or people are being radicalized on Discord. So I understand that they have to do something to push back. But is a biometric grab really the answer for all of this? Joining me to discuss, Ann Vander Steele. She's obviously a good friend of mine, but also she's a very, very good war correspondent, and she's all in on all of things biometrics. And we're also going to talk a little Epstein with her as well. So it's an honor, of course, to have you back on the show, Ann. Thank you for being here. I wanted to get your take on this because we're watching as Discord now is doing what I think is something that we should, you know, kind of be a little happy about. They're trying to verify the ages of certain users, and they are being targeted online with pedophiles, obviously these kids who are utilizing it, and they're also being radicalized by, let's just say, agitators, whether they're abroad or here in the homeland or possibly working for a government. But we know that's a core issue with Discord, but now they're going to start doing the biometric age verification process starting next month. What's your reaction to that news?
You know, Brianna, this, you have to look at this thing in the bigger, broader picture, right? Mm. You know, since the Patriot Act, we have continually given away our constitutional freedoms and we're supposedly exchanging them for more safety, but the world isn't getting safer. So by giving away your constitutional freedoms, your right to privacy, and using biometric data, which is being, you know, just absolutely consolidated into this massive global data set of information on everybody, it doesn't seem like we're getting the exchange that we would hope we would when they say, we just want to make sure that you're old enough. We want to make sure you're not a bad guy. We want to make sure we can stop terrorism. I mean, you know, let's just use January 6th as an example. We had biometric data on everybody. That's how they were able to determine who went in the Capitol, who didn't, who they wanted to target to arrest, who they didn't. And, you know, then we find out there was, you know, dozens of FBI undercover agents there that looks like they were the ones inciting the actual violence at the Capitol to drag people into to create the narrative. So this is a very slippery slope. And if you start to just give away your personal information and you don't know exactly what it's going to be used for, and then in hindsight, you look back and you recognize that is a giant trap to put you into a specific narrative to generate more global control, I have a real problem with that. It all depends on who has control of that data and how they apply it. And unfortunately, we live in a world where we're not a constitutional world. We're not even governed constitutionally here in the United States. We've thrown that out the window a long time ago when we instituted U.S. codes and these agencies going back to the 30s. And these agencies are for-profit entities, and they are beholden to the corporate special interests that are, we are now learning are foreign-dominated into our own government. So all of this, you know, in a big global picture, Brianna, is a massive usurpation of our personally protected constitutional rights. I'm not in favor of it, frankly, not in this application.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the hard part in all of this, right? Because if it was just for the pure, we're just trying to keep kids safe on our platform, then
exactly.
A lot of people could be on board for that. But that's the problem, is it always starts off, like you mentioned, the Patriot Act. It always sounds innocent. It always sounds like it's going to benefit us for safety reasons, but it's never the case. I mean, and how do we combat those that are trying to radicalize kids online or even target them? I mean, we're hearing about all these sextortion groups who are utilizing Discord. We also hear about these online predators. I know Alex Rosen is meeting individuals on Discord all the time when he's catching predators and going after them. How do we protect kids when they're utilizing these platforms to go after them?
Simply cut the income tax out completely, and I'll explain why I mean that. Since the income tax was introduced in 1913, it has done nothing but erode traditional family values. You've now put the parents in the position where both families have to work in order to provide food and roofs and clothing for their children. This has been a massive, should we say, usurpation of your freedom, your ability to pursue happiness. Because again, you can't survive off one family member's income anymore. Majoritively speaking, the middle class has been completely decimated by the income tax. So mom no longer is home to either homeschool the kids or be there when the children come home from school. You layer in the Department of Education and the indoctrination camps. These kids are being taught that they're no longer a boy or a girl. They're either or, whatever they want to be that day, including a cat, a dog, using a litter box in the restrooms at public schools. The government has become so completely intrusive in our lives, Brianna. We can't surrender any more freedom. We are now forced into a position where, like I said, mom and dad aren't there to raise the kids. We've subjugated the nanny state to raising our own children. This is hugely problematic. And again, going back into Discord and how this all applies. Well, if mom and dad were home, or one of them was home, I should say, they would be able to monitor their child's activity online. And again, online space is the wild, wild west. You can go and find anything, including getting onto the dark web. And if your child ends up there, you know, this is unfortunately where they're going to get radicalized and they're going to be turned into potentially a child sex slave. They're going to run away from home because they think they've been taught online that their parents are oppressive. This is the kind of information indoctrination that the parents have lost complete control because they have no idea what's going on in the classrooms and the schools. Thanks to COVID, we got a peek into that. But then again, they're not home when the children get home. And kids are going to do what kids are going to do. They're going to explore and they're going to find these things and they're going to be indoctrinated and they're going to be radicalized. And this is, again, I blame this squarely on the fact that both mom and dad have to work. If one could stay home and do the heavy lifting of raising the children, and I know because I've done it, it's harder than going to an office and hanging out with your friends at the water cooler or being on the road in sales or flying around the world in a jet somewhere to meet with people. Staying home and raising their children is the most critical role that a parent has if you want to have a successful society. And frankly, we don't have one right now. Just go out anywhere into the public and look at the decay that you see around you with just the public, you know, the youth today. They don't even look like normal children anymore. Our society has literally gone off a cliff, and you can thank the federal government for all of it.
Yeah. No, it's true. It's true. And I love the fact that you're talking about moms staying at home, or either parent, but mothers staying at home and raising their children. I mean, and when I was growing up, it was kind of, even in high school, it was told to us, like, you got to go to college. You got to get your career. It's a career, career, career. In New York, that's what they kind of drilled into the back of your heads. And although, like, right. My mom is a stay-at-home mom, I mean, I benefited off of that, obviously. But it's unfortunate to sit here and see parents trying to juggle work life, both parents, and while trying to raise a family. It can't work like that. And so I appreciate that angle from that perspective, of course. And I also want to ask you about biometrics, too, specifically. You know, back, sure. This was maybe 2 years ago when I uncovered, you know, when you go through the airport, so many Americans see that TSA has that nice little sign up there that says that they're participating in this new program and it's volunteer. If you decide not to do it, you can. But if you do it, don't worry about it because we'll delete it right after you take your photo. Well, I uncovered the fact through going through documents that that wasn't the case, as many people probably assumed. They actually forward those images over to DHS. DHS stores a limited amount, that's what they told me, of those images. And they never explained when I asked what is that limited amount. They never told me what it's, the specifics were. So although TSA deletes it, they're actually sending it over to DHS who stores it. But like you said, this is a bigger, bigger issue. And we're seeing this all across the globe right now. We're all inching closer and closer to these digital IDs, these real IDs that they're doing. And they're trying to get us all on board with this. Is there still time to save not only our country, but others all around the world from this digital infrastructure that they're building?
Frankly, at this point, no, we've gone over the cliff. I mean, even Discord, right? When you're just going back, just backing up for a second, even Discord, while they're not supposedly collecting the biometric face data, they've got your voice data. They've got video data if you use the video call system. They've got your behavioral pattern data. They've got any sort of devices that you're using to connect into the server data. And then you stretch that back out to what you're talking about with DHS. I believe that those iPads that you stand in front of when you're standing in front of the TSA mm-hmm. was really sort of a soft introduction for the public to get comfortable with the idea of this. But make no bones about it. They've been collecting our data for years now. Anytime you're walking on a street in any city, driving in your car on any highway, walking through any shopping mall, I mean, everywhere you go, between the 5G networks and the video cameras everywhere, Brianna, they have your data. They've been storing it for a long time. And when you layer in Palantir and the massive, you know, data centers that they're using in these, so we say, fusion centers of data around the world and in our country, that data is already there. They're just now telling you that you're going to be signing up for this and that, oh, don't worry, we're not storing it. But just like with the Patriot Act, oh, don't worry, we're not monitoring you. What did Bill Benny teach us? They were listening to everything and they've been collecting everything. It was never targeted, just looking for the bad guys. This is literally the slippery slope into a complete track and trace world where the Minority Report, frankly, is going to be what we will be living in. Hollywood has been telling us this for a long time, Brianna. So, you know, this is highly disturbing as far as I'm concerned. If you want to travel around the world, you know, when I look at this from the biblical lens, you know, God placed us on this planet in different countries and different places. We have different languages, different cultures. We look different, but we're all created in his image. And people were nomadic. They were allowed to travel. And when there were bad people, the good people handled situations. We've gotten so far from it. We've now become so reliant on technology that we're having to exchange our God-given rights for the privilege of having access to going from one state to another or one country to another. And I don't believe, frankly, as far as humanity goes, that is what was intended. Humanity has always been able to take care of the bad guys. And now we're turning this completely over to a group of bad guys that we now know are nothing but complicit in facilitating child trafficking around the world and covering for pedophiles. So I just don't see the fair exchange in our civil rights at this point anymore.
Yeah, no, I'm on board for that. And I know you mentioned Palantir. It's interesting because yesterday I was watching in the UK. They were having it was a parliament hearing. And obviously mm-hmm. there's the calls being made right now for the Prime Minister Keir Starmer to step down, given the fact that Peter Mandelson has been highly dumped on in the Epstein files. I mean, his name just continues to come up and that he was misleading the public and all of this. So it was interesting to hear the back and forth yesterday, but this clip in clip 10 really stood out to me. Take a listen.
The Prime Minister visited Palantir's head offices in Washington, D.C. in February 2025. Will the Chief Secretary confirm if Peter Mandelson advised the PM to visit Palantir, what the purpose of the visit was? Will the government publish details and minutes of the discussions that took place at this meeting? And will the government review all existing contracts with Palantir and suspend any further engagement with them until the investigations are completed?
Yeah. The Prime Minister engages with a whole host of businesses, whether in the United Kingdom or abroad. In relation to his question suggesting particular wrongdoing, as I said to my honourable friend earlier, we have powers under the Procurement Act to act on these issues if we must, and if evidence comes to light, then we reserve the right to do so.
And I'm going to let you cut that off on this because it's interesting how they make this connection. And obviously, these are just allegations that they're making, but they want to know more as to what the meeting with Palantir in Washington, D.C. was all about. And I think it's interesting that there might possibly be an Epstein tie to all of this.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Peter Mandelson has met with Epstein, and his relationship with Epstein was more than he originally let on to be. And so that has been problematic for him. But let's look at this in the terms of the context of global surveillance, Brianna, because Five Eyes is real. It's really Six Eyes plus other, you know, world, internet, intel communities around that have been, you know, sharing information, sharing data, because again, it comes back down to the global government surveillance state. And the international bankers have been in control of the world for millennia, and it has grown exponentially. And now we're getting a look underneath or behind the curtain at the puppet masters and the role that Epstein has played in all of this. And while Peter Thiel will tell you that he's, you know, he's a libertarian and that he is totally against the track and trace surveillance state, all you have to do is look at all the different, you know, pieces that are coming together. For instance, money-wise, right? Epstein is now very closely tied into the development of Bitcoin. He's also, when you look at the Genius Act and the Clarity Act, that the Genius Act has already passed, but the Clarity Act is up now for going through committee and getting passed. That is going to be the death of what the independence that Bitcoin supposedly was providing people, where you don't know who the user is and so forth. But once the Clarity Act is passed, the government is now going to be able to track and trace and, you know, see exactly who's doing what. And so far, any of the transactions that you wanted to keep private will now go through a public ledger and therefore be tracked back to the IRS. And so there's no getting around this global cabal where the IRS, as you know, money goes in, but it never comes back into the United States. It goes directly to the IMF, into the international banking cabal. And it's simply just more fleecing of the American people here. So Keir Starmer talking with Peter Thiel, talking with Palantir, meeting with the folks in Washington, D.C., and you look at the track and trace, all of these layers and all of the government acts that they're passing right now are all designed to take control of not only your money, your privacy, and your ability to have any sense of independence from this massive global octopus that is literally choking the life out of everybody. And again, the intelligence communities, City of London, the bankers have all been working cohesively together. And I believe they have literally taken America and used us as the chattel for over 150 years to finance global operations of subversion, war, rebuilding, nation building, and then, of course, the colonial grab of everything, which is why Israel has been so critical in all of this, because they've weaponized a nation state that was formed in 1948. Through Lord Rothschild. But the big problem I see with all of this is that they've used this anti-Semitism rants and so forth to hide behind what their true agenda is a weaponized intelligence community run by a globalist banking cabal, networking with a gentleman named Jeffrey Epstein, who has absolutely had his hands into every single scientific or medical technology around, which has been used to control America. And COVID, I believe, exposed so much of this because we finally got a look at the giganticness of this global apparatus. So I know I'm going kind of circuitously here, but this is such a bigger thing, Brianna, than just looking at a meeting. You've got to put it into context of the global machine that we're fighting right now. And frankly, what I'm concerned about is I don't see this administration recognizing that. In fact, I see them walking us into this digital prison right now, and I'm not understanding why President Trump hasn't spoken out about that, because day one, he showed us what he was doing when he had Larry Ellison and Sam Altman standing next to him in the White House on January 21st. That was a big red flag to me, and I think the bigger red flag is that we continue to, you know, network with these countries, particularly with Keir Starmer coming over to D.C. That is a big tell that the Five Eyes apparatus is going to continue to grow. We're going to share this fusion center data, and it's not going away.
Yeah, and we're going to keep our eye on this, Anne, because it's not going away anytime soon. And there's more happening in regards to Epstein. Even today, I mean, we're hearing of several hearings going on right now, so we're going to get to that in a little bit. But, Anne, I want to thank you for joining us. You are an incredible independent journalist. Folks, give her a follow on X, Anne Vandersteels, where you could find her. We look forward to having you back on the show, Anne, so thank you.
Thank you, Brianna.
All right, guys, I want to jump to something that's happening right now on the Hill. Looks like Howard Lutnick is actually testifying right now, and he was asked about his relationship with Epstein. Let's take a listen.
You led people to believe that you had cut off all contact with Jeffrey Epstein after the 2005 encounter you and your wife had in his apartment. But as I'm sure you know, the Epstein files show a very different record of interaction. Why do the Epstein files show you coordinating a meeting and planning a visit with Jeffrey Epstein on his private island in December 2012?
Thank you for the question. I'm glad to be here to make it clear that I met Jeffrey Epstein when I moved to a house next door to him in New York. Right? And I met him then. Over the next 14 years, I met him two other times that I can recall. Two times. That is none for 6 years. So 6 years later, I met him. And then a year and a half after that, I met him and never again. Probably the total, and you've seen all of these documents, of these millions and millions of documents, there may be 10 emails connecting me with him. Probably about 10 emails connecting me with him over a 14-year period. I did not have any relationship with him. I barely had anything to do with that person. Okay?
Secretary Lutnick, I think you understand the root of concern here. It's the way you described very emphatically your first encounter with him in his apartment. Said you were disgusted, would never have any contact with him again. Did you, in fact, make the visit to Jeffrey Epstein's private island?
I did have lunch with him as I was on a boat going across on a family vacation. My wife was with me, as were my four children and nannies. I had another couple they were there as well with their children, and we had lunch on the island. That is true, for an hour, and we left with all of my children, with my nannies and my wife, all together. We were on family vacation. We were not apart. To suggest there was anything untoward about that in 2012, I don't recall why we did it, but
Mr. Secretary, again, as I said, there's not an indication that you yourself engaged in any wrongdoing with Jeffrey Epstein. It's the fact that you believe that you misled the country and the Congress based on your earlier statements, suggesting that you cut off all contact when, in fact, you had not. When you visited the private island, did you see anything inappropriate during that visit?
The only thing I saw with my wife and my children and the other couple and their children was staff who worked for Mr. Epstein on that island.
And you realize that, you know, this visit took place after he'd been convicted, right? I mean, you made a very big point of saying that you sensed that this was a bad person in 2005. And then, of course, in 2008, he was convicted of soliciting prostitution of a minor. And yet you went and had this trip and other interactions. Did you have a dinner in Epstein's New York City home in 2011?
No.
So the information that suggests that there was a dinner with Woody Allen and Woody Allen's spouse at the Epstein residence, that's there's nothing to that. Is that right?
I actually don't know what you're referring to. There was, look, I looked through the millions of documents for my name, just like everybody else. And what I found was there was a document that says that I had a meeting with him on in May, I think.
All right, I'm stepping in on this one, folks. We got more press conferences happening all across the country. I'll be jumping in and out of those. Plus, taking your calls, 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539 is the number you can call.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of, like, thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the the CMOS has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together. And they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, and it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's for good, me. Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on like my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to like the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, it's not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. Nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fights will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us. We'll be taking your calls in this portion of the show, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. There's a lot of press conferences, a lot of hearings going on right now. We want to keep you in the loop on. Chuck Schumer is expected to begin speaking any second now. And he's pushing forward a bill, which I'm sure he's going to try to manipulate because they don't actually care for sex trafficking victims. But he's introducing a bill that's supposed to remove the statute of limitation for sex trafficking crimes. We'll just listen in for a little bit on that front. But we did interrupt while Howard Lutnick was talking in his hearing right now, which is going on. Let's just listen in because he's explaining his relationship with Epstein and he's trying to clarify what he thinks is false information. So let's listen back in.
Was
Look, I've looked through the millions of documents for my name, just like everybody else. And what I found was there was a document that says that I had a meeting with him on in May, I think, for an hour at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
Not dinner or otherwise, for an hour at 5 o'clock.
All right. There's also a reference to the fact that Epstein had expressed an interest in meeting your nanny. Do you know whether Jeffrey Epstein ever met with your nanny?
No, I saw that. I had no idea what that was about. It had nothing to do with me.
No interaction at all with him.
No, as far as I know, no.
Would you, Mr. Secretary, be willing to ensure that the file is complete to share with this committee and the Congress your own records, any records you have that relate to Jeffrey Epstein?
I will surely talk about that. I hadn't thought about that. I have nothing to hide. Absolutely nothing.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. So let's jump back in here.
Again,
obviously, this is a very uncomfortable moment for Howard. But let's get to some callers. I know Nathan in Michigan wants to talk about just that. So let's get to him first. Nathan, welcome to the show.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
I can, Nathan. Welcome.
Hey, good morning. How you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. I got to tell you, listening to Lutnick there, that is just, since when is it normal to go to people's private island that's convicted of being a pedophile? And to say, just like everybody else, I went through the files looking for my name. Your name shouldn't be in files about pedophiles. I don't care.
Nathan, you're like,
why
me. I'm just saying
they?
That out loud. Yes, it shouldn't be.
I'm just like, I'm blown away by this. And, you know, and I've been, you know how I've been around all this with you guys for 20 years or better. And it just amazes me how you had the Sound of Freedom come out and all this exposure of all this pedophilia. And it just continually gets pushed down over and over by the powers that be. They're like, oh, don't look here. There's nothing to see. And it's like, you know, all these people are attacking Massey. And I'm just like, what are these people talking about? Like, this guy got a law passed to get these files out to prove. They're talking about eating kids. Like, hello, people. And it's like, you see these people like, oh, they're just waking up. And it's like, man, I've been saying this for years, and you all thought I was crazy. Like, what? Just, I don't know what to do. I don't know how. How are we ever going to advance the belief of there's true evil and there is a cabal of people that are just sick and evil and need to be destroyed? I just don't know how to get that across. I mean, what more do we need to do?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Nathan, you're not alone on any of this. And, you know, I want to hear your take, too, on this, because people are really upset with Thomas Massie right now for calling and bringing all of this back to the surface. And he's not letting up anytime soon, you know, just because some of the documents have been released. He's upset that a lot of the names have been redacted. Specifically, though, he's fired up about one of the CEO names that was just forced out of the DOJ, although the DOJ is claiming that they've since corrected the issue. But there's a lot of key players who had their names redacted who aren't victims. What do you make of all of this? Because we continue to sit back and watch, Nathan, as President Trump goes after Thomas Massie, who's been obviously the biggest pusher when it comes to putting the information out there all the time. What's your take on that?
It disgusts me how Trump behaves with Massie. Yeah. I voted for Trump every time. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's a pedophile. I don't think he's involved in it. There's really no evidence to base that assumption. I think that I don't understand why this is happening, if it's just like a pride thing where he just needs to attack him. I don't really know about that, but the DOJ, Pam Bondi, and we know they're all Democrat. Who was I listening to yesterday? And they're talking about how there's no such thing as if you're a real Republican conservative, you're right of the right. Mm-hmm. It is, we just are at that point where Democrats have kind of slid over to a Republican. Democrats are just completely far left. And it's like, and Massey's more of a conservative than Trump in a way, because he's willing to go after these evil key players. And I mean, I don't understand what, I think it's a lot of it to do with what he has around him, the people around him, like Todd Blanche. We know he was a Democrat prior. Why would we trust him? They all have this idea that there's sophisticated and And there's certain things that we got to do, and we can't let the people in power be harmed or nothing like, you know, and justice be done made of heaven's fault. Alex says that all the time, and it's true. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. If it's founded on evil, it must be destroyed. And even if things go bad for us, we need to take that hit in order to correct our society, because a society founded on evil is just evil. And and I don't know what to do with Trump on how he just attacks. And the redactions, I think that is exactly what the problem is that there's these deep state. Let's just call them what they are. You know, they're the deep state that has been controlling this for all these years. They redact the names. And, I mean, what's going to happen? I mean, how are we going to get someone to actually investigate that? Because the FBI, they're useless. They're not worth nothing. I mean, or busting pedophiles that are, you know, in drug rings. I got an FBI friend of mine. He goes to a church with me, and I asked him one time, and he said he went into a house and he rescued a child once, and he said that was the most horrific thing he ever dealt with. And I know these guys want to do that stuff, and it's the powerful. You have to cut the head off the snake. We can't just go for the low-hanging fruit here all the time. And so I don't know how to get Trump to do it, to get over the Thomas Massie thing. And you know, and it amazes me. How come nobody attacks any of the other rhinos? Like, there are so many people that are in Lawler, for example. Why does everybody just leave that guy alone? He's a complete leftist. I mean, he's always going, he wants to give immigration out now. And so I wish I had a good answer for you, but I'm not very happy with Trump on the whole Thomas Massie thing and the MTG thing and all that, because there's plenty of other rhinos that he could be attacking. And sometimes I think I don't like Trump's pride. Pride comes before the fall.
Yeah.
And I really get tired of that.
Yeah, you're not alone. The rest of us are on board with that too. Nathan, thank you for calling in. We'll get to our next caller in a moment though. I just saw that Chuck Schumer has walked up to the podium, so I want to make sure we get you to that right now. Let's take a listen.
Well, I want to begin, of course, by recognizing the Epstein survivors who are here today. Virginia Giuffre's family, who traveled here because they believe, as I do, that what happened to Virginia and to all the victims here today and throughout the world must finally lead to change. And all you have to do is look at the faces of these beautiful women and just have total, total empathy for what they've gone through, admiration for their courage, and anger about what happened. So, thank you. Today, we're here to do something simple and long overdue. Today, I'm introducing Virginia's law, legislation to end statute of limitation barriers that have kept survivors of sexual violence from justice far too long, and to create new legal avenues to pursue justice. Because justice should not expire. Justice should not expire. And because for survivors, healing does not run on a government clock. I'm also so proud to be joined by Congresswoman Teresa Ledger Fernandez, not just chairwoman of the Democratic Women's Caucus, but she's always been a fierce advocate for survivors and a partner in this fight. She's a champion and a fighter, and that's what a bill like this requires, a fighter who will relentlessly push for the cause of justice. Justice. That's what we demand, justice. And here is World Without Expectation and Sigrid McCauley, whose work, along with the survivors, helped shape this legislation. We thank her. The bill exists. Why? Why does the bill exist? Because people refuse to accept silence as the end of the story. It's that simple. It cannot be when something this dastardly and this terrible and this heart-wrenching happens. For years, Survivors of Epstein's abuse were ignored. They were doubted. They were silenced. They were dismissed. And even when the truth finally came out, even when the world finally listened, too many survivors were still told by the law, it's too late, your justice has expired. Not because the harm wasn't real, not because the abuse didn't happen, but because the system ran out the clock. When they were told, it's too late, your justice has expired, we aimed to change that. And that's what we're trying to do today. When you say the system ran out the clock, tough rocks, too bad, too late, that's not justice. That's a system that protects abusers by waiting survivors out. Our law, Virginia's law, changes that. It allows survivors to seek accountability when they're ready, when they're strong enough.
All right, let's step in on this because Chuck Schumer's full of you know what. Chuck Schumer's over here trying to say that there should be no statute of limitation on these types of claims. No, statute of limitation is for a reason. It's for defendants too. You see, this is the problem here, right? Because any woman from 30 years ago could then say, make a claim against you at home and say, you know, he sex trafficked me 30 years ago. And now it's up to you to prove those claims are false. They will just sit there and throw anything at the wall and see if it sticks. And that's exactly what's going to happen here when you sit here and you open up this wormhole. They don't actually care about justice. That's the reason why Chuck Schumer is saying it now. If he truly cared about justice for these victims, he would have spoken out on their behalf 4 years ago, but he chose not to because, well, it wasn't politically convenient. And that's why you see him doing what he's doing now. He's riding the wave. The wave is the outrage is going on right now, and rightfully so, of the millions of Americans who are going through the Epstein files and seeing what a monster he was himself and how our DOJ and our FBI ignored the claims of victims. And he's telling you that all these victims are looking for justice, but justice has expired on the government clock. That's garbage. That's garbage. So many sex crime victims turn to law enforcement for help, and law enforcement turns them away. We know that. That is factually true. And we also know that many of these women came forward to report these claims, and the government did nothing about it. So we're not going to sit here and shift over the blame. The government is who we could blame for all of this, and we all know why. Let's take Bill in Wisconsin. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Bill.
Hi. You know, last time I called in, you threw me in front, or you threw me there with right after Bongino. You had to put me through Bongino. This time, you put me through Schumer.
I know.
It's like,
what are friends for?
You try to throw me off, but you know what? Well, I did not hear one word that came out of his mouth. But what I did notice, Schumer got new glasses. Those are not strictly the reading glasses where he looks over the glasses at you. Somebody advised him, get a little bit bigger. They're almost round. He's getting to the round. He's almost there in little round glasses. Anyway, it's hard to go back, but you know what? The caller prior to me, Nathan, was that Nathan?
Mm-hmm, correct.
What a great caller. Mm-hmm. What a great caller. And he came in right after you played Lutnick, okay? Mm-hmm. Then Nathan had his great call. Then you throw me into Schumer. But here's the thing. Lutnick, Nathan, go back. Now, let's go off of Nathan's call. My next question is, why don't these people step down or step aside instantly? Like, worse to say, why are you even in there? If you're even in there, boom, out. And his point, Lutnick, too, dude, you said, you know, it was after. You knew. They're not telling the truth. So why aren't they stepping down? Right now, you see a big acceleration going on. Normally, a lot of these people, if you look at even in Britain, aren't a lot of the people stepping down right away? Over there, boom, they're out. They're out. They're out because they don't even want to get close to the scandal. Why are these people not stepping down? What's going on with this big acceleration with the AI, the data centers coming in everywhere? These people that you can see, we've been saying this for how many years? They want to control every aspect of your life. And right now it's in front of people's eyes and they can see it. And people don't know how to comprehend that. Because when you see all these things they want to control, the Democrats are putting out a list because elections are coming up. All these new taxes are going to be put. You can't even make these taxes up. You're like, how do they dream these things up? They want to control every aspect of your life, the word every. And now you add in, I recently did a poll, or I'm still doing a poll about politics. Has politics become a grift? Has politics become a grift? Yes or no? It's like almost all yeses. You know, and I've heard some pretty important people say, and I agree with it, it's all corrupt. And we can all see it now. It's so plain in front of your very eyes that this is all corrupt at such high levels. And people are trying to comprehend this, right? Wow, I can't believe this is, it's hard to admit it. That's it. What do you think, Brianna?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's right in front of your own eyes. I mean, I think, Bill, you're right. It's frustrating, though. I mean, there are definitely the grifters in the world, for sure, too. But it's frustrating. I'm hitting my tipping point with all of this because I continue to show you things and say, look what we found. Isn't this crazy? And
then well, it is. Here's my final point about the grift. Let's say politics is a grift, okay, because it's become that. Hey, we're looking for some good people. So you know what else that means? People, oh, yeah, politics has become a grift. It sure has. Everything downstream from that is a grift, too. And like I said, this voter registration, that's a total grift. A lot of these things are grifts, okay? Go, if you don't know what grift means, go look up the term, have Grok tell you what it means. But that means if politics has become a grift, everything downstream from it is, unless you're people like you and me who call these people out, we're not grifting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, Bill, I think you're spot on, as always. And we appreciate you calling to the show. Thank you, my friend. We appreciate it. Let's turn to Mark in Missouri. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, all things considered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's on your mind?
I can't help but think of all of the religious connotations that are present in current events and, you know, Jesus's own words, all things done in the darkness will be brought to the light. And that's where we're at. It's being brought to the light. And, you know, Trump is in this impossible position. What is he supposed to do? I mean, he was not perfect. He was involved in all this whole group, and we don't know exactly what he did and what he didn't do, but he's clearly a different guy. I'll give him that. He's not that guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just wonder also, I mean, who is making the adrenochrome now? Because somebody is. There's a vacuum. I mean, we see these celebrities that are all – we see these pictures where they're not getting it. So – but they probably will. I mean, the cartel is going to step in.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Yeah. Well, Mark, we appreciate you calling in. Now, we're keeping our eye on a lot of things going on right now, so we appreciate you jumping in on that one. Let's get, because I want to kind of get to all the Epstein folks who are calling in right now first. Wild in Wisconsin, I want to get to you, too, because I know you want to add on to all of that. So welcome to the show.
Hey, hi. Can you hear me okay, Brianna?
I can. Welcome back.
Yeah, I was wondering with, have you yourself searched any of the keywords in the Epstein documents? What were your favorite search items?
I don't really have any favorites, but I have been running. So a lot of stuff is circulating online, and I'm trying to vet it by putting it and plugging it in to make sure that they're authentically coming from the files itself. That's been one of the major issues here. I think sometimes they're trying to discredit individuals, and so they are putting out false information. So it's just made about me just plugging in some of those documents to see which ones are actually coming from the doc drop itself.
Have you heard the stuff that when they searched prion as a keyword?
Mm-mm, I haven't heard that yet.
I'd recommend it, especially because it's in yours and InfoWars and Alex Jones's wheelhouse. If you search the keyword prion from the COVID saga, there's lots of documents regarding that. And there were conspiracy theories about Epstein's involvement with the coronavirus and rumors that some of the genetic material that was in the vaccine was from Epstein, which is absolutely terrifying. And then also people have been talking about the cannibalism stuff.
Yeah.
and the babies being eaten. But I think it's also important to note they're not just eating babies. They're eating regular people and women, too. You know, you don't just stop at babies, which is absolutely terrifying, you know. Mm-hmm. And obviously it's something that we can't allow in civilized society if there's cannibals going around, you know.
Yeah.
And I just think it's, you know, evidence in itself, along with, as you see, like current events with the Super Bowl, about how America has has been attacked. Mm-hmm. It started before with terrorist attacks. They couldn't take us down economically. They couldn't take us down militarily. So they had to do attacks on our cultural infrastructure and on the infrastructure within the U.S., the schools, the hospitals, government. And this is all tied into similar to Midnight Climax. Have you ever heard of Midnight Climax?
I have not, no.
It was a CIA operation similar to MKUltra, Tangent, where they would use women and prostitutes to lure people in and get compromise on them, compromising materials. And then it was removed from the original data set, but it was also for making the Ubermensch. They were trying to make, like, the superhuman, a super gene line, a super soldier by using women and drugs and all this stuff. And Epstein obviously is part of that, you know, tied into that. It's not just about getting compromising material on people. That's part of it. But there's also this genetic manipulation stuff and bioengineering stuff, which really we've only seen the tip of the iceberg. You know, they talk about Zorro Ranch like it was a ranch, but it was in some aspects even more terrifying than the island, because apparently they're doing clones, you know, and they're talking about clones and the releases and stuff. I just wish with these document releases that they would also be a little bit more organized. They're kind of like, it's kind of chaotic. You can't search them well. They're not in chronological order. Massey, God bless him, is talking about how there's not only blackout redactions, but whiteout redactions that he can't even see.
Yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately, we're in a process now of majority of Americans waking up that we're under attack. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we're all starting to wake up and realize what's going on here. I mean, we've known about this for quite some time, but yeah, no, I'm 100% on board with that. It's all really concerning, and going through it's going to take months and months and months to do. And it's frustrating to go through the documents itself too, because there's so many blank pages. There are so many pages that just aren't relevant, copies, duplicates. And so that's what we're trying to sift through, and we'll continue to do just that. So Wild, thank you for calling in. Folks, if you're on hold, stay put. We're going to be jumping in and out of hearings, taking calls as well into the next segment. In the meantime, though, if you're looking to save on some of your favorite supplements right now over at thealexjonesstore.com, we've got bundles set up, two key ones that you're going to want to get your hands on. 50% off when you package these things together. I'm talking like colostrum, methylene blue, and red. That's for the ultimate gut and brain bundle. That's on sale right now. Normally, all these items separately would cost you about $210, but when you bundle them together, you get it for less than $100 over at thealexjonesstore.com. You got to check it out before it's too late.
I'm jacked up on the methylene blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it. And boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like you said, I've been taking the Methylene Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it. And I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now.
I must say that it does a damn good job.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the Methylene Blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Powered by Methylene Blue, Ultra Methylene Blue, at TheAlloShowStore.com.
Guess what? Howard Lutnick is still answering questions in regards to Jeffrey Epstein, so we can't let him off the hook that quickly. Let's take a listen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to start by sharing the concerns and statement made by the chairman. I think you've heard it from other members of this committee as well. Yeah, the benefit of the bargain was struck at the time we passed the infrastructure bill. I've heard you refer on a number of occasions to new ideas. Having worked with the states, including my state of Maryland, for a long time on this, Mr. Secretary, I think the important thing is to make sure that they get the benefit of the bargain. And I think you're hearing on a bipartisan basis this committee is going to scrutinize that very closely. There are just a couple of questions I have before we close. One is just a follow-up on one of your responses with respect to the Epstein files, specifically the visit you and your family took to Epstein's private island in 2012. And I think you also said you went on his yacht. Is that right? Or boat? No.
No.
Okay.
I didn't say that.
At that time, I think you mentioned that you were accompanied by your wife and kids and nannies. My question is, do you know whether the nanny that you had on that trip was the same nanny Jeffrey Epstein expressed interest in meeting?
No, I have no idea about that whole thing. I mean, I don't recall it having anything to do with me, and I don't know that.
It's just, you know, this guy was a convicted sex offender and obviously not a great place for kids and nannies. Was Ghislaine Maxwell on the island at that time?
No.
So turning now to the issues of the high-speed internet and broadband, let me just say I appreciated your very emphatic response to Senator Shaheen about Starlink, SpaceX, or any other entity.
All right, let's step in on this because obviously, folks, he's done answering those questions, but we'll keep listening in. If something does come up, we'll bring it to your attention. But obviously, this is something that is very, very important, and we actually have Lutnick admitting to what we've kind of suspected. So this is interesting. It's getting very, very interesting. I want to jump into the MAHA movement for just a split second here. Let's get to clip 7 because this is RFK Jr. talking about what our adversaries are doing to our food industry here in the United States. Take a listen.
You know, it was really serendipitous. The two guys, Brent Ratner, who helped produce the ad, had a lifelong friendship with him. Understood and was aware of the struggle that Mike had had, which he says the biggest struggle, the biggest fight that he had in his lifetime was his fight with obesity. He was 340 pounds. He lost his sister when she was 25 to obesity, to a heart attack. And he did, the whole ad was shot in, the whole thing was conceived over about a 3-day period. And they gave him a script. The script was not working, and he just started talking. And it's an extraordinary, powerful ad. I think it's the most important ad in Super Bowl history because it's a crisis, Peter, that's existential for us now. 77% of our kids cannot qualify for military service. The obesity is off the chart. 38% of American teens are diabetic or pre-diabetic. And the cost to our country is ruinous. When my uncle was president,
we all know what's going on here. We all know that the food industry is poisoning us. But I love the fact that Mike Tyson's leading the way on all of this. For Americans to eat real food, Give up the processed food garbage. It's absolute garbage. Go back to just eating meat. That's what I'm doing these days, and I highly recommend everyone else do the same. Folks, we got our eye on a couple things going on right now. When we come back, we'll bring you to the hearing that's taking place. It's all the top immigration officials front and center, and I have a feeling Eric Swalwell is going to be speaking next. We'll bring that to you. We'll also be taking your calls over the next 20 minutes as well. We'll try to hit all those callers and get them into the show. So stay put. We got more to discuss in just a few moments. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Like I told you, we have this incredible deal when you bundle select vitamins, select supplements. You're going to get 50% off. We got two packages bundled up for you right now. Got to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and check it out.
I'm not an influencer, by the way. I'm a patriot and a journalist and a pundit and analysis and a futurist and father. God loves God. Influencer comes from the time of Plato and Aristotle and Socrates. And influencers are people that use rhetoric without facts and reality and logic to convince dumb people. So when the globalists call you all influencers and you go, yeah, I'm an influencer. It just shows how stupid you are. Stop calling yourselves influencers. I'm a philosopher. I'm a warrior. I'm a game changer. I'm a historian. I'm a fighter. I'm a pioneer. I'm an explorer. I got red blood. It's pumping through my big heart fast. I like life and freedom and justice. I like women. I like red meat. I like guns. I like sunsets and puppy dogs. And ladies of the night. Dakota Whalen Jennings.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the show. We'll take your calls in just a little bit, but I noticed that Eric Swalwell is speaking right now at that immigration hearing that's going on right now in front of the House Homeland Security Committee. Let's take a listen.
A couple nights ago, I met with a woman who works as a cashier at a grocery store, and I told her I was coming to see you, Mr. Lyons, and she said, will you ask him, and she didn't want to give her name. She was terrified to give her name. But she said, when I get off my shift around midnight and I walk through the parking lot to my car, she said, if somebody rolls up in an unidentified van and gets out wearing all black and their face is covered and they don't have any identification and they ask me to get into the van, how do I know who they are? How does she know, Mr. Lyons? How does she know if they're an ICE agent or bad guys?
Sir, ICE agents have identifiable placards on their uniforms as well as their badges representative. But you won't see ICE agents rolling through the parking lots and just snatching someone up. ICE does intelligence-driven targeted enforcement operations.
Well, Mr. Homan and others have said that they target individuals based on the color of their skin and the accent that they speak. And that's why people are running through the fields and factories where they work. Director Lyons, last year you said in Phoenix at the Border Security Expo that you wanted to see a deportation process that was like, quote, Amazon Prime, but with human beings. Mr. Lyons, how many times has Amazon Prime shot a mom three times in the face?
None, sir, but you're also...
It's the square root of zero. That's right.
Yes, sir. Yeah, but if we're going to go down that route of my comment, I did say that comment. However, that comment was taken out. If you go back and watch the video, I did say that we need to be more efficient when it comes to removing individuals from the United States because ICE doesn't detain punitively. We detain to remove. I don't want to see people in custody. At the end of my statement was, again, to your point, it was a industry day for AI and efficiencies. But I did say at the end of it, but we deal with human beings, so we can't be like them.
And speaking
That's
of
the
human,
key part that you're leaving out.
Well, speaking of human beings, how many times has Amazon Prime shot a nurse 10 times in the back?
None.
How many times has Amazon Prime dragged a woman out of a car by her hair and then dragged her down the street?
None.
How many ICE agents have been fired for their conduct under your leadership?
Sir, I can get you that data. I'll get that back to you.
Is it more than one?
I'm not going to speak about personnel actions, but I'll get you that data.
Can you tell us if at least one person has been fired for their conduct since these operations have begun. Are you telling us you can't even say one person's been fired?
Sir, I'm not going to talk about personnel actions, but we will get back to you.
But two people have been killed so far. Is that right? A nurse named Preddy and a mom named Good. Two people have been killed so far.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Lyons, will you apologize to the family of Renee Good for being called a domestic terrorist by the president and his leadership?
No, sir.
Why not?
Sir, I welcome the opportunity to speak to the family in private, but I'm not going to comment on any active investigation.
Is she a domestic terrorist?
Sir, I'm not going to comment on the investigation. And the president and Secretary Noem are elected officials. That's your right to their comments. But as career law enforcement, we won't speak to any.
Do you agree with their comments?
Sir, I'm not going to go ahead and talk about any ongoing investigation.
Will you apologize to the family of Alex Preddy for also being called a domestic terrorist?
Sir, again, I'm not going to speak to any ongoing
investigation. Eric Swalwell, low IQ. That's putting it nicely because my mom's watching right now. What an absolute moron. For some reason, he believes that he sounds intelligent. He actually just sounds like a dumbass, though. The reality of it is he's sitting there and he's trying to get all of these top immigration officials to bow down to domestic terrorists with their slanted false stories, hoping it's clickbait enough for him to be able to fundraise off of. That's Eric Swalwell, the guy who is allegedly running for California governor. What a dirtbag. All right, let's jump back to some callers right now. Let's go to Josh, North Carolina. Josh, thanks for holding for us. What's on your mind?
Oh, not a problem. I hope you had a good day.
I just want
to start off on a positive note. Just there's a lot of doom and gloom stuff going on. I'm definitely not flat to it. But to be honest, I think the Epstein stuff that we're getting in its entirety is just a proof that the slave trade that still goes on in the world today is very much alive in America. Now, you can call it whatever you want, but every conspiracy theorist knows the term wage slave, and that's something I haven't heard people talk about except like a few times with the immigration, like, oh, you want these cheap workers, you got 50% of your staff missing. Oh, they're wage slaves. People trading their time, they'll never get out of poverty, like Alex talks about feudalism. But, yeah, a few of the callers, everybody's wondering what to do. Look at your local politics. I just wanted to shout out to Don Brown of North Carolina. He's running for North Carolina Senate. He's actually a pretty cool guy. Look him up if you're in North Carolina. Consider him on the ballot. We got to get him out there. But in your individual states, you need to look at who these people are. They're promoting Michael Wiley. He was endorsed by Trump. But a lot of people that are looking into him say he's not doing shit. I'm going to keep my language down to the minimum for the children. But my final message before I give it back to you is just pass the SAVE Act. Let's get it.
I like it, Josh. Thanks for calling in. No, yeah, we could always use like little ounces, a little glimpse of hope. So we appreciate that. And thanks for holding for a while. I know it's been a while. So thank you for that. And I always tell people you got to get involved locally. The federal swamp is just too much, but the local stuff is really what's going to affect you. And I think, you know, Mel Kay, who we have on the show quite often, does a great job of telling people about that. But she wants everyone locally involved as well. And I think that is very, very important. So thank you for that. Let's turn to another caller. Let's see. Bart in Georgia. Bart, welcome back.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for taking my call. First of all, y'all, please go to the alexjonesstore.com/redneck and buy some of that methylene blue. But I want to talk about the Epstein files. And I was watching a clip of Roseanne with Tucker Carlson, and it was so crazy. At first, I thought it was AI, and I'm like, no, this is real. And she's telling Tucker Carlson to stop looking at her like she's crazy and that the Rothschilds and were drinking blood and that they're literally vampires. And first thing I thought of, man, this has got to be fake. But you know what? Just because she might be crazy doesn't mean she's wrong. Everything's right. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you. I love both people, so I'll have to give it a look. I didn't see that one. But thanks for putting it on my radar, Bart. I appreciate just that. Let's turn to Lester. Lester, welcome to the show. I believe that says, and it's, the font is so small. I know I don't look like I have bad eyesight, but it's kind of feeling that way. I think this says West Virginia. Lester, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Brianna. It's not the first time I've been a caller on your show.
Oh, well, welcome.
Okay, yeah, because I like it. And I just realized this morning, I'm a huge baseball fan, and you started talking about Trevor Bauer, and I realized, I've seen Brianna before. You used to be affiliated with Major League Baseball, and you've done the World Baseball Classic, right?
I did. I was down there in Miami. I was covering, I don't know what outlet it was. I spent about 3 years, I want to say roughly, working over at Major League Baseball. So I was down there. I did a couple of freelance jobs, but it was Major League Baseball. It was the Advanced Media Major League Baseball company I was working for. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's where I recognize you from. Great. Anyway, Trevor Bauer, here's my views on it. Trevor's put out some risque stuff on YouTube, right? He's a little toxic in a way. I think Major League Baseball has kind of like said, hey, if you can find a team that'll take you, we'll let you come back into the league. I think that's pretty much what the whole thing is from the CBA of Major League Baseball. But, a lot of teams, they just won't look at him because, they feel he'll be toxic to the clubhouse. What's your take?
The wives were the ones. So when I was asking GMs, and this is like, I was just like chatting it up with people. They told me that the wives were the ones who were refusing to let Trevor Bauer to come onto any of the teams. So although he's been proven, I believe it's 100% to be vindicated in all of this. I haven't followed it in a while, but I'm pretty sure there was a couple of women who came forward. I'm pretty sure everything has been cleared. The wives don't want him anywhere near the clubhouse. And so that was their big push. Again, I never actually understood it. I never actually was in a clubhouse with Trevor Bauer, so I don't know what his behavior is personally, professionally. But I don't know if he's still currently playing overseas. You might know this, Lester, but I remember when all this was breaking, he was playing abroad in Asia. I don't know if he's still there or not. I don't know if he's just given up. But I know he was trying to work his way back to Major League Baseball, but the teams weren't going to give him that chance. Do you know where he is currently, what his status is? Have a look.
Mexico. He's in Mexico right now. He's playing in the Mexican leagues. That's exact. And he's really trying to make it back. He's just looking for any team that'll take a chance on him. And I think, I believe in second chances. And, I think the guy should get a shake. But a lot of, like you said, the wives and some teams, they just don't, they don't feel that he'll be a good clubhouse fit. But my last point is, and you can let me go, Bill Clinton was in a hot tub with the redacted victim. Where is the justice? Mic drop. Thank you, Brianna.
Yeah, well, I like that one, Lester. No, it's true. I mean, we have the photo. If the DOJ is being what they say they are, they're redacting photos of victims, then, yeah, we need those answers. And Ghislaine Maxwell also yesterday during her deposition said that there was no wrongdoing by President Trump or Clinton. I mean, I think that's probably a push to spare herself. Because we all know what happens when you accuse the Clintons of anything. But there's that. Also, when I look back at Trevor Bauer's stats, like I told you guys before, he was a Cy Young winner, which is the highest. If you don't follow Major League Baseball, I mean, that's the highest. And it is so hard to win a Cy Young Award. That's how he went out of the major leagues with. And his ERA was at 2.59, which is crazy, folks. So it's really unfortunate to see what happened to Trevor Bauer. I really hope that he does make his way back to the major leagues. But it just highlights, you need to keep pushing this. You know, women can destroy your lives. And this is why I'm not a fan of the statute of limitation going up. I don't like this. I think the statute of limitation is in place for a reason. Men should be able to prove claims being made against them. I don't think it's fair to, tie their hands behind their backs and sit there and allow anyone to come out and make an accusation about you that you can't prove whether or not it's true or not. We need to end all of this. And I feel bad for Trevor Bauer. He fought hard to try to disprove what was being put out there about him. And, I mean, he did a heck of a job. I mean, I was convinced based on the physical evidence. I mean, if we have the photos, too, there was in the criminal complaints, there was a woman who was literally beaten. I mean, she had the physical markings on her face of a woman who was beaten. But then I'm trying to remember at great detail. But then you're looking through what he was able to do, which was sue her, get her metadata. And you realize that when she left his home, this is according to his attorneys, she was fine. She was fine. Now, again, I don't think she was criminally charged with anything, which is insane. I believe women who make false claims against men should go to prison for the same time that man would have gone to prison for. So just something to float out there. But again, these are the issues that are going on right now. And that's why I don't jump on the bandwagon anymore. I mean, I was convinced that Trevor Bauer actually did what he was accused of doing based on the medical records. I remember the woman, I believe, had two concussions. I mean, look at these images. To believe, and maybe it's because I'm not bat-ish crazy, but to believe that a woman may have self-inflicted these injuries is wild. Now, again, none of this has been proven in criminal court, both the allegations against this woman and Trevor. But one must wonder, what the heck is going on here? I know Sarah Gonzalez did an interview with her after all of this came about, after she took a settlement, and the settlement coming from her insurance company, though, not coming from Trevor Bauer. And, you know, Sarah held her feet to the fire on that one. And Sarah Gonzalez over at the place. All right, folks, let's go back to taking your calls. Let's get to Rachel in North Carolina. Rachel, welcome to the show.
Hi, so good to talk to you. Real quick, I don't know if Alex listens to the show, but we have the same birthday, so I want to wish him a happy birthday for tomorrow.
Oh, happy birthday, Rachel.
Thank you. I wanted to call, I don't know if you saw the video relating back to the Somalis at the meat processing factory. Excuse me. I'm terrible at names, but there was a video about the Somalis and how, I guess it's more of a conspiracy, but there was a man talking about the lack of, like, 911 calls relating to, like, elderly Somali or cardiac arrest. And I think, like, with all of the cannibalism going on with the Epstein files, I'm wondering if there's a bigger conspiracy here. And I know that the fraud with the money comes down from the top. So I almost wonder if they're in on some of the cannibalism and that they're getting paid for it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sorry, you broke up on that last part. Can you repeat that? I'm sorry. My IFB went a little blah, Rachel.
Sorry. I was saying how the fraud with the money comes down from the top. Like, we know that the Somalis are not capable of, like, you know, doing all the back-end stuff on their own. So I'm saying maybe there's a bigger conspiracy involving people that are involved with the Epstein stuff. And, like, cannibalism is not, I can't imagine there's a lot of clubs, you know, of cannibalism. So I feel like if there is something there, and the guy mentioned how, like, elderly people would be seen going into this factory and never coming out. So I'm just wondering if there's, like, a deeper conspiracy there and what your thoughts on it are.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't looked that deep into it, so I don't know as of yet. But, I mean, honestly, at this point, I'm willing to look into anything at this point because we're learning more and more about it. I mean, you know, BX, I don't know if you guys know, she's Becca on X. She does an incredible job of breaking down a lot of stuff. She's actually working on a cannibal story, and she's posted about it on her Substack page. I've actually been following it extremely. It's well detailed. It's crazy. But she's on anything cannibalism. She's got this one covered. So she's one of the best. So I'll definitely take a look into it. Again, I think that it is all connected. I also think that a lot of these fraudsters that you're going to see, the Somalian ones, they're all been buying off the politicians. I mean, and they don't do like electronic setting of the funds. It's going to be like cash, bags of cash. And so homes need to be raided now. But I think probably a lot of these politicians have gotten rid of the funds. Rachel, thank you for calling. Happy birthday, Rachel. I know tomorrow we might not speak. So I wish you the very best. And enjoy it. Make it a great one. All right, folks, so we got a lot we're keeping our eye on right now. I want to also just jump back into the immigration hearing right now because I believe they're asking questions about the database that's being collected right now, the biometric stuff specifically. Let's listen in.
We work hard. Mind our own business. ICE in our streets now. People are terrorized. American citizens. Number of cases of Americans being detained, being taken in, some being held for 5 days. Sir, what do we do with those people in that situation? What do we tell them?
Sir, I don't know of any particular cases you're speaking of American citizen being...
I'm more than happy to provide you a list, sir.
100%, sir.
So let me ask you, sir, are you surveilling U.S. citizens today?
No, sir.
Those people protesting, practicing this First Amendment right, photos of them, data taken, they're not being placed in any kind of a database?
There is no database for protesters, sir.
One of your officers in Maine said to one of the individuals protesting, we're going to put your face in a little database. What does that mean? Do you have a little database
No, sir.
Of Americans?
No, sir, we don't.
Then what do you think your ICE agent was doing to this individual when he said those statements?
I can't speak for that individual, sir, but I can assure you there is no database that's tracking United States citizens.
Sir, California, we're a sanctuary state. Does that cause you a problem picking up individuals?
Yes, sir.
I have with me today some data from Sheriff Barnes, Orange County Sheriff. Very good friend. He's been here to testify numerous times. For 2025, he referred about 300 individuals for your office to pick up. 250 were picked up. 50 were never picked up. We had a long conversation saying, what is going on? If these are the worst of the worst, you've called ICE to pick them up and you didn't pick them up. Can you explain to us why you didn't pick up all these individuals that were referred to your office to pick up?
Yes, sir. That's the key part of that is the referral. We make sure that those individuals are eligible to be placed in detention and for movability.
So you never even looked at those individuals.
Gentlemen's time.
I would like to talk to you about this issue later on, Mr. Lyons. Thank you very much.
Time has expired. I now recognize the gentleman from Texas.
All right, let's step in on this, folks. I'm going to take one more caller before we run out of time. We're also keeping our eye on that hearing, of course. But in the meantime, I want to remind you all to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com because right now we have two incredible bundles that we just posted online. And when you bundle these supplements, you get 50% off. That's why you're going to want to jump on to thealexjonesstore.com right now and make sure you do just that. We have the ultimate gut and brain bundle that's going on right now. When you get these three supplements, normally it's going to cost you about $210 roughly. But when you bundle them up for this exclusive offer, you're going to be getting it for less than $100. That includes colostrum, methylene blue, methylene red as well. So head on over right now and make sure you snag that. That is the ultimate gut and brain bundle. Now we also have the modern world survival stack. That one's also a top favorite with some of your most favorite supplements being sold at a discounted rate when you stack them up all together, like the Shilajit complex, sea moss capsules, and the atomic defense. Now, again, normally this would retail for about $185, but you're going to get it today at a discounted rate, which is $89.99. That's available right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. You got to check that out. Let's get to our last caller since we have some time here. We've got about 2 minutes. So, Duck in Chicago, that is all for you. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Brianna. And I just wanted to make amends to you for a call I made a few weeks ago about, you know, the Epstein files and why they wouldn't release them or whatever. I was wrong. You were correct.
Thank you, Doc.
I want to make amends for that.
Thank you.
Anyway, you know, we see every the evil, the just the unbelievable. And I know your blood is boiling as much as mine is. You know, when we see all this. And no accountability. When is there a point where there is a line that is crossed? And I don't even want to mention the word, that comes to mind about this. But it has gotten to that point, in my opinion. Your opinion?
Yeah, I don't know what more it's going to take. I mean, we're reading the documents too. And Duck, I'll say this. I mean, I would think that. Well, first off, the mainstream media is not even talking about the documents that are being released, which I think is deplorable. I hate using that word, though, given the fact that Hillary Clinton has branded it wrongfully. But the fact that the mainstream media is not even talking about the women who were forced to give birth to children that they don't even know where those children are. I mean, that in itself is just gut wrenching. My heart bleeds for those women and nobody cares. Duck. It's like,
well, it's
a rare group of people who actually care. It's us. We care, but the rest of the world doesn't care. All you.
Yeah. And when you look at the child sacrifice and the adrenochrome possible issue, it's to the point where it would turn anybody to become violent, quite frankly. I'm at the point of really losing my crap here. Because I just don't know what the next steps are going to be. And, you know, they just keep shoving it in our face. I just don't know where to go from here. I mean, it's gotten to the point where, you know, there has to be some sort of, you know, tea party again that needs to take place in order to not only stop this insanity, but stop I mean, everyone's a slave to taxes as
Doug,
well.
We've got five seconds left. We appreciate you calling in. Thank you, my friend. We are grateful for that, folks. Don't go anywhere. Kevin Smith joining me in a second.
All right, I'm going to be very clear about this. I've done an hour and a half of live broadcasts that have not plugged one time. You're not going to get economic, cultural, military, spiritual analysis like this anywhere else. That's not a power trip. I've been blessed by God with the best crew, the best guests, the best intel. But it's up to you to boost this information. All I ask is that you share the live feeds, you share the articles. We get shut down early next month, which is, I haven't made the announcement yet, but this is it. God keeps coming through with miracles, but it just looks like it. You'll see major movement soon. I'll just stop there. It's okay. But I'm asking all of you that have been on the fence, you share articles, videos, wonderful, keep doing it. I thank you, humbly. I'm not mad you never supported us financially, but the products are great. I'm asking everyone to do one thing. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and one click, become a VIP for $30 a month. Now, you instantly get $40 to spend in the store, special deals, special offers, everything. It's a discount when you do that. It's just like Amazon Prime. But let's just say you don't want ultramethylene blue or Shilajit or Irish sea moss or bovine colostrum. That's so incredible. Not a sexy name, but sexy results. Maybe you don't want to get any of the great Patriot t-shirts. Just be a VIP every month. A donation of $30 to our sponsor, Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones backup network and the site. There's all sorts of behind the scenes attacking them. They're big boys too. You know, Nate was pardoned by the president for trying to save a woman on J6. He did save her. But I mean, these are Patriots. Just go to the site, upper right hand corner, VIP club. Just commit. You can cancel any time, so it's not much of a commitment. But each month you charge $30 on the first day of the month. Just be a VIP. Pledge to us $30 a month. You've got NPR and PBS getting billions of dollars a year from the feds and then begging constantly for your money to shovel communism and pedophilic garbage on you. We just sell you the very best supplements you've ever seen, the widest selection of Patriot apparel, badass knives, and we're swinging for the fences. I'm totally committed. I've given up 95% of my assets, which weren't ever that big. I could care less. Actually, I'm actually happier not having a few things to deal with. But the point is that we're now up against the wall. So I need you to simply become a VIP. And then you got a bad month, whatever the issue is, cancel. And then you get more money in a few months. You'll say you're like blue collar, whatever, hardworking person, totally respectable, the bedrock of this country, $30 a month. You get a little bit of problem, cancel. It's free. And then a few months later, things are going well again, become a VIP again. But for all you middle class people and all you wealthy people that aren't investing in the fight against the tyrants, you are crazy. All of you that have means should be a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com. It's just a $30 donation. If you don't want to spend the $40 you get to buy great products and just want to let it, you can be a member and just pile up $40 each month. And at the end of the year, what's 12 months? You know, you've spent X and then gotten way more in and then, you know, do all your Christmas shopping. I don't care how you do it. I'm just saying, become a VIP. One click. Hit one button. I'm an attack dog, folks. I'm born for this. I'm bred for this. I love this. I'm fearless other than failure. I have no fear. All I'm saying is please become a VIP right now at thealexjonesstore.com. That's the simple commitment. VIP. 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 And that's the term they use for it. I would call it Paul Revere Fund. I would call it tip of the spear. There's nowhere you can support where you're getting bigger results against the enemy. Bang for the buck. And it's just true. I'm not bragging. I'm very humble. I am your weapon. I am committed to you like a dog is to its owner. I mean, it's true. I am your servant. I am here to defend you and defend your family and defend your freedom. Because I'm defending mine as well, and we're all in this together. You understand? I am so committed to you at the very base of my soul. And I just simply want to see you awaken in the info war. And there's nowhere better with one simple move than being a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Back to the American Journal Workside. You're jumping on with us today. We're watching that immigration hearing that's going on right now. We'll let you know if anything interesting does take place, but we brought you when Eric Swalwell was speaking just a few moments ago, and I think our audience may have lost a couple of IQ points by having to listen to Swalwell, but folks, we'll spare you for now. And if anything interesting does take place, we'll bring you right back there. But I want to shift gears a little bit and bring you to New York, because as many of you guys know, I've been warning you all, New York City has gone full communism, and it's been going on for quite some time now. It's the reason why I ventured out and left back in 2019, because I knew it was going to be an absolute mess. And sadly, that seems to be the case. But if you're homeless living in New York City, it's not a good situation for you. That's because there is a new regime in town, and his name is the leader, Zohran Mamdani. He doesn't care about homeless people. In fact, he must hate them, because he's leaving them on the streets right now of New York City to freeze to death. The death count so far is up to 18 homeless individuals have actually frozen to death in New York City. Now, this would be a national story, but I think most people just assumed when New York City elected a communist to run the show that this is what was going to happen. Now, if you're wondering why this is happening, Zohran Mamdani doesn't want to force homeless people who are dealing with mental health issues into shelters. Instead, though, he's going to allow them to live on the streets in frigid weather. Recently, there was just an 84-year-old man found dead in the Bronx, and it's because he froze to death, thanks to Zohran Mamdani. Now, keep in mind, Zohran Mamdani has only been the New York City mayor for a couple of weeks now. So although he has 18 casualties under his belt so far, that number is going to get significantly worse. Joining me to discuss is my good friend, Kevin Smith. He's a fellow New Yorker. He's also the host of Loud Majority Live, which you can catch on his X page as well. Kevin, I want to give you a shout out and say thank you for joining me. I missed chatting with you. It's good to hear somebody with a heavy New York accent. I don't get that much in Texas, so welcome. I wanted to dive into the story with you, though. This is all about the New York City mayor, and we all knew it was going to be a disaster. But, man, he has 18 casualties under his belt so far, and we're only a couple of weeks in. Your reaction?
Well, you know, this is what happens when you govern on ideas instead of practicality. Look, New York City has always had homeless people. It doesn't really matter who the mayor is, but the situation is a little bit different now, because when it gets freezing in New York, and it does every year, the homeless people tend to go into the subways where it is warmer. But the crime has gotten so bad, the subways have gotten so dangerous, that the homeless people are braving the elements, sleeping in a park just to avoid the crime on New York City subways. And the problem with that is that when you spend 7 days out in below freezing weather, you freeze to death. And it's absolutely tragic what's happening, because these are deaths that did not have to happen. Look, homeless people are incredibly resilient, but right now they're being left with no options. They can either be robbed and beaten up and assaulted on the subway, or they can freeze to death on a park bench. And unfortunately, a lot of them have taken the latter.
Yeah, well, that's the sad part in all of this, because New York City, you know, there was obviously the issues over the last few years, but I mean, it's going to get significantly worse for the city, and it's so sad to see these homeless people just living on the streets. I mean, I believe I saw this in the New York Post, this image, and your heart breaks for these people. I mean, they should not be out in the streets. They should be forced into shelter, forced to mental health services to get some type of treatment. But instead, they always pretend, these communists, like they are, oh, we're so empathetic, we're going to work with these people, we're going to help them out. But they're not. They're giving them the option, which is live on the street and die, or maybe we can find you shelter. We don't really know. But this is what's going on in New York City. So far, I know we're only a couple of weeks into this, but are you hearing of any like buyer's remorse? Maybe these voters are all of a sudden saying, okay, maybe this wasn't the guy for the job.
Oh, absolutely. Because look, here's the thing about mayors of major cities. We look at Brandon Johnson or Karen Bass or Zohran Mamdani like they're these all powerful people. They're not. They have the exact same power as the local mayor in your community. The difference is that their community happens to be gigantic. And look, local government is not sexy. It is, your job is to clean up the trash. It is to plow the streets. It is to keep people safe. It is not to bring about some sort of global change. And he's been focusing a lot on that. The irony of the entire thing is that there is no trash, there is no snow directly in front of Gracie Mansion where he lives, but where the rest of us live, there are mounds of frozen trash. I'm not sure if you can. I'm pretty sure you're able to smell it all the way down in Texas as it builds up on every street corner all around New York City.
Yeah, it's an absolute dump. And I used to joke when I lived in New York, I used to say all the time, hated the summers because it smelled so bad. I could only imagine, though, how much worse it's going to be now with Zohran Mamdani in charge. I mean, the trash on the streets, the smell that we all had to endure was just horrendous. So it's only going to get worse, Kevin, unfortunately for them. You know, I am a Long Islander. I know you're a Long Islander. We've had our issues in Long Island, but it's been a pretty moderate turnaround for things. Politically, it's getting better for Long Island rather than New York City. But I saw this story and I gave it a good laugh. There's a Wyandanche principal who's being accused right now of dropping thousands of dollars on steak and lobster dinners, boozing up his staff. And they're also accusing him of doing these jet ski rentals. Now, these funds apparently were meant for the youth mentor program. I lived in Wyandanche back when I was hustling back in my days in the beginning phase of my media days. And I lived in an apartment. It wasn't a very nice apartment, but I lived there. And I can tell you, it's not a very nice side of town. These kids, I actually, and this has a lot to do with just my personal information, all of this, they actually made cuts because there were so many illegal aliens being flooded into the Wyandanche School District. Wyandanche School District, for folks who are unfamiliar, it's usually, it does, the majority of the Americans that live over there are black, but then they saw a quick influx of Hispanic students being brought in. And it, as a result of all of this, they actually cut back on a lot of these programs. So the school itself was losing a ton of money because of the bilingual programs they had to start up. And so they shut down a lot of after school programs. We ended up doing a collective thing and we ended up donating a whole bunch of sporting equipment to these kids, hoping they weren't going to turn to the streets. But now you have these principals on top of everything who allegedly, this is also just accusations not proven in court yet, due to an audit, have been spending this money for this youth mentor program on their own personal things like steak lobster dinners and boozes. I mean, Kevin, this is so outrageous because Wyandanche is limited on its resources already. And so here you have a principal who is just happens to be also a black principal. I'll throw that out there, too, who's now being accused of using those funds. I mean, this is like a system that never corrects itself, that they're not able to help these kids because these are the people at the top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Wyandanche actually has the lowest graduation rate on all of Long Island. Only 73% of their students last year graduated. You talked about the budget shortfalls that they've had over the years. A few years ago, the New York Jets actually paid for the freshman football team to be able to travel and get uniforms. Also, let's put this into the broader sort of woke context. Wyandanche had to spend millions of dollars redoing their stadiums, redoing their logos and their uniforms and their insignias because they had to get rid of Native American insignias as part of Kathy Hochul's plan. So not only is the school being robbed by the principal, allegedly, the school had to waste millions of dollars to get rid of like a Native American tribal leader's head on the middle of their on the middle of their field. But their budget falls every year and their graduation rate is getting worse and worse. So it's almost like they're trying to do everything they possibly can to keep what is a very impoverished neighborhood down and not be able to pick them up. It's absolutely terrifying because as a young man, I once was, if you take away school sports from some of these kids, you might as well just put a gun in their hand. You know, young boys who do not have active lifestyles will find a way to go and cause trouble. And when you cut freshmen in JV sports, ninth and 10th grade, like Wyandanche has had to do over the course of the last several years, they are going to go out into the neighborhoods. It doesn't matter what race, what religion, it's just what teenage boys do. If you've ever been around one, you know that that's kind of how we operate. So to see this principal robbing these funds, now they have to cut, you know, music and freshman football, freshman basketball. It's a serious problem.
No, it is a serious problem, and it's frustrating to sit back and watch because I don't think most Americans even understand what's going on right now in areas like that. And it's heartbreaking because again, like you mentioned, the Jets did step in and help those kids out. Remember, Suffolk PD also did step in too as well, and they gave them a chunk of change, and we tried giving them sporting equipment, but man, oh, man, are the stats against them when it comes to that type of stuff. So it's unfortunate to see that their own principal, allegedly, we'll say, again, not proven in court, they're just saying that this was due to the audit, was allegedly misusing these funds. We'll keep our eye on it, though, of course, because this is a story that's close to my heart because we tried helping these kids out, and unfortunately that wasn't the case. But let's switch up gears a little bit. But let's keep it on the same topic of stupidity because Elizabeth Warren was just grilled recently about voter ID, and she's not happy in regards to possibly women not being able to vote. It's kind of like a mind twist of stupidity. Let's listen in to clip 12.
The SAVE Act is expected to be brought this week to the floor for a vote. Do you support voter ID for elections?
Well, it depends on what you mean by voter ID. When you want to say that everyone has to produce a birth certificate, including women whose married names are not on their birth certificates, that creates a real problem for me.
Well, isn't that just one of the first steps in getting married is getting a new ID?
Actually, it's not getting a new birth certificate, because part of what the SAVE Act does is it says most driver's licenses around the country won't work as an ID, and that creates a terrible problem.
But you need an ID to do just about anything in America. Shouldn't you need one to vote in elections?
You don't need a birth certificate. I hope you know that.
I hope you know that. The level of stupidity is off the charts, but hey, as a woman, I'm worried now the SAVE Act might actually come for me and I might lose my right to vote. Just kidding, folks. If you're listening,
you know,
that's worried. Kevin, what do you think, though?
It's the bigotry of low expectations. Like, women can't use their little brains to figure out how to get an ID. We're not asking a lot here. And no one's saying you have to walk up with your birth certificate. You just have to show proof of who you are and that you're a registered voter. The irony of the whole situation is Elizabeth Warren saying, well, you know, in some states you can get a license without being a citizen. Yeah, that's a bigger problem. Like, that you can get a driver's license and not be an American citizen or not have any documentation that you deserve that license in the first place. Maybe if the states were giving out CDLs and driver's licenses to people who have no right to be here in the first place, then that wouldn't be an issue. But, I guess that's a bigger problem for Elizabeth Warren and her tiny female brain. whenever they say that, like, black people or women or Hispanics can't, I'm like, do you guys know how racist and misogynistic that is? That you guys just can't figure out how to do that? Like, it's wild.
Yeah, well, they're trying to blame us. They're trying to say that women are unable to do all of this, and that's the reason why we can't support voter ID in this country. And it's like, hold on a second. If you can't figure out as a woman on how to obtain a voter ID and through whatever it is, I actually don't think you should be able to vote. In fact, I mean, this is a whole other argument, but probably most women shouldn't be able to vote because they vote on their emotions rather than actual logic. But that will get people fired up these days. But the reality of it is, though, is I hate how they try to use – originally it was minorities, and they were just throwing minorities under, oh, they just – you know, black Americans can't get IDs. And even, the New York governor, she's out here saying that black kids in the Bronx can't even get computers. They don't know any of this stuff. I mean, they sit here and they tell you openly what they think about us. They don't think highly of us. They don't think we're educated. They don't think we're capable of doing these things. And to me, it's just laughable because people still continue to vote for them. But it's all a front. And even the vast majority of Democratic voters truly support voter ID. So they're going to lose on that battle. But speaking of that, before you go, I wanted to get your take on this. There's a Texan politician. He's actually not even Texan. He's from China originally. He's born in China. But here we are bringing people who hate us. Gene Wu, I guess that's how you could pronounce his name. He is someone who I've known for quite some time, just focusing on the local politics of things. That is a communist, in my personal opinion. But he's out here trying to race bait. He's also trying to brag about how whites are losing the majority here in the state of Texas. Take a listen to clip 13.
A couple of follow-ups to what you just said. Legally, when it comes to, like, policy, sure, right, immigration is a federal issue.
Sure.
But what we're seeing and yep, what you just named, and you're an immigrant yourself.
Absolutely.
You came here how old?
I was about 4 and a half.
You're 4 and a half. What you just named very clearly is that this is a local issue.
Absolutely.
That this is a block-by-block, neighborhood-by-neighborhood yep, issue. Yep. Now, thank you for just jumping right in and kind of at the root of this, white mm-hmm, nationalism, right? In a state that white people are now the minority.
Either
in Texas.
Yeah, very close.
Yeah.
Either are or already are minority or very close to it.
Yeah.
Right? But still the majority of voters.
Of voters. Mm-hmm. And certainly where the power structure
correct,
is. Now.
Yeah, so Kevin, he was very proud of that in another clip as well, bragging about how he's proud that whites are becoming the minority here. He's someone, again, he's a foreigner, he's not from this country. What do you make of all this? Because we continue to have these politicians, not just here in Texas, but all across the country. It's just alarming that he's in Texas, but all across the country who hate this country were brought here, I think, specifically for their hatred of this country, and they're trying to destroy us from within.
No, absolutely. And it's so wild because when people talk about things like, oh, Democrats are importing new voters, and then they'll scream, that's a conspiracy theory. And then you have a guy there saying it out loud, that if we just bring in more non-white people, we'll get our way. The problem is that that's the sort of coalition of the ascendant that Barack Obama talked about. The problem with that is that most people don't see themselves in one context of their race or their gender or their ethnicity. They vote on values. And that's why we saw President Trump speaking to those values and picking up more Hispanic and black votes than any Republican in history. If they keep down this racial path, I don't know if it's going to go well for them. They're going to keep trying it, but I hope Democrats keep saying the quiet part out loud so that we can see what they're really all about.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's about time we got to unveil what's going on here. And I think they're doing their own job at that. They're doing a pretty good job at that. And we look forward to that as it continues to happen. Kevin, by the way, you sent me this clip. I want to play clip 14 before you head on out. This one has to do with the math. And what was that? Okay, so we'll go to that in a little bit, actually. Kevin, thank you for joining us. I'm hearing that there's something going on right now in front of the Immigration Services Committee. And so we're going to, or the hearing that's going on right now. So we're going to head over there right now. But Kevin, thank you for joining us. We greatly appreciate your time as always. Folks, give him a follow on X as well. Kevin _ Smith 45. That is the one you're going to want to go to. He's the founder of The Loud Majority. And you got to head on over and give him a subscribe to as well. Kevin, thank you for being with us. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, Brad.
All right, folks, we're heading on over back again. See, I'm playing this game where we're just bouncing around on everything that's going on right now. We're going to head on over right now back to that congressional hearing we were bringing to you before. A little bit more is going on right now. The three individuals right now who are testifying in front of the Homeland Security Committee hearing, well, they're speaking right now. Democrats are trying to grill them and pin them down to, I guess, a little sound bites that they use for fundraising purposes. But right now you have the leaders of both ICE, Border Patrol, and Immigration Services speaking. Let's take a listen.
And good morning to our witnesses. Commissioner Scott, did the ICU nurse, Alex Freddy, deserve to die?
I cannot comment on an ongoing investigation, sir.
Do you believe that he deserved to die? Should he be killed by your agents?
I'm not going to comment on an ongoing investigation, sir, before it's concluded and all the facts are available.
Do you agree with CBP Commander Bovino's statement that Alex Pretty was planning to massacre law enforcement agents?
I'm not going to comment on an ongoing investigation, sir.
Director Lyons, did Renee Good deserve to die?
Sir, I can't comment on ongoing investigations.
Director Lyons, do you agree with Secretary Noem and Vice President Vance's characterization of Renee Good as a domestic terrorist?
Sir, I can't speak to their comments as that they're their own, but as an ongoing investigation, I can't speak to that.
Director Lyons, what did your agents mean when he said, you raise your voice, I erase your voice, in the video just that we have seen, all of us have seen?
Sir, I'm not aware of that video that you have, sir. I can't comment on what that officer has said.
Does that statement, if I show you the video of that, does that statement reflect the value of your agency? And does ICE respect and adhere to the First Amendment?
Yes, sir. ICE does respect and refer to the First Amendment, but that doesn't respect that. Well, your statement that you said doesn't represent the values of the men and women of ICE.
Commissioner Scott, does CBP respect and adhere to the First and Second Amendment?
Yes, we do.
Don't you agree that Alex Pretty had every right to exercise his First and Second Amendment freedoms before being shot in the streets by one of your, before being shot in the streets by one of your agents?
I believe every person in the United States has a right to their constitutional rights.
Look, I have heard and seen enough. I'm just sick and tired of your agents running around in our cities, in our streets, causing illegal activities. ICE and CBP thugs are roaming our streets, attacking our communities, using our children as bait, referring to people as bodies and numbers, targeting people for their accents and the color of their skin, and killing American citizens, all while showing zero remorse for their actions. Victor Lyons.
For to start judging people on accents, that guy's got to be judged. That is a horrendous accent. And if we're going to keep pushing for mass deportations, you got to send these people out of your country. See, that guy over there should not even be. I didn't even know he was actually a member of Congress. Who elects these people? Oh, not us, of course, not the people. That's how people like that get elected to office. Folks, that was probably the dumbest, like the actual dumbest. Like I'm going to go a little low. One of the dumbest line of questioning I ever heard in my life. What an absolute moron. See, these are the people. It's like when you call, let's just say, like you're having a computer issue. And they're reading, and they're thick Indian accent. They're reading off of their pre-drafted scripts. That's what that just sounded like to me. I won't even try to imitate it. It was bad. The American people deserve better. We got to stop importing people from countries that hate us. Stop importing these types of people. They can't even, in their native country, they can't even form a functioning government. And we bring them in? How embarrassing. Folks, I want to make sure this is on your radar. There's a flesh-eating parasite. And no, it's not any of these swamp creatures in Washington, D.C. There's a flesh-eating parasite known as New World Screwworm. Yeah, you heard that right. It is somehow spreading from the northward Mexico area towards the U.S. border right now. I'm sure this is all natural, of course. It has somehow, some way, infesting open wounds on a lot of warm-blooded animals, livestock, wildlife, and pets. And they're saying that it is actually causing severe pain, deep infections, and potential death if it goes untreated. The fly apparently is laying about 200 to 300 eggs per batch in the wounds. Wounds. I'll get it right. Obviously, this is something that is very scary. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has issued a statewide disaster declaration to unlock resources to increase surveillance and try to gather some resources to push back and to prevent this from making its way to the United States. Now, there was a rare human case occurred in Maryland. This was back in 2024 after the individual apparently traveled to El Salvador. But they're saying that there's been no widespread outbreaks here in the United States. Officials emphasize that prevention through animal inspection, early detection, and reports of the larva that's coming about in these wounds is the best way to make sure that it does not make its way to the United States. So it's a flesh-eating parasite. Mexico, the gifts that just keep giving. They keep just giving us tons of gifts. Folks, we're also keeping our eye on a couple of other things, too. I'll break down a report tomorrow in regards to Meta researchers who apparently warned top executives at Meta that there was a bunch of kids being targeted online. We'll walk you through the details. It has to do with the latest bombshell documents that are being brought to the attention of many right now. It's also has to do with the lawsuit in New Mexico. I'll talk about that tomorrow as well. In the meantime, though, if you haven't done it already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We have two bundles going on right now. And when you bundle some of your favorite supplements, you're getting 50% off. All you got to do right now is stop what you're doing and head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We have the Ultimate Gut Brain Bundle, as well as the Modern World Survival Stack. These are two incredible packages that you get 50% off when you buy it together in these bundles. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. All right, that does it for me. The Alex Jones Show is next. Don't go anywhere. More to expose next.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nitric Boost, the all-time fan favorite, is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com.
You've looked at our formula. You like it?
I did, and I do. Yes. Well, nitric oxide is a key. It's made by our own bodies again. It's made by L-citrulline and L-arginine, the amino acids.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Judy Mikovits, without me even knowing she'd gotten it and used it, came on years ago and said,
This was the best spike protein detoxer she'd found.
So you want to boost your own body's ability. The nitric oxide relaxes the endothelium, the vasculature. It relaxes the vein. So I use the two, your InfoWars. I keep that on my shelf. And I feed myself the CardioMiracle, which is just for straight food. It's a different formulation than that one. And the two together are a 1-2 punch. So you get in your food the ability to make what you need and no more.
It is already a nationwide best-selling bodybuilding product for over 20 years. Bodybuilders take it as it helps grow muscles and better workouts and things. So for those of you that love Nitric Boost, it's back in stock right now at InfoWarsStore.com. And for those that haven't tried Nitric Boost, you are really missing out. Secure your Nitric Boost right now at InfoWarsStore.com. We're battling in the courts. We're still here a year after the Onion said they bought us. We might actually hold on and win, but regardless, the shopping cart's there, the shipments are going out, and you will get your product. But if you don't order it, support us, we'll be off the air. So please take action now at InfoWarsStore.com and experience Nitric Boost for yourself. It's good for men and women. Get your Nitric Boost now, right now, exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. And thanks for being the reason, one way or another, we'll always be on the air. InfoWarsStore.com, Nitric Boost, back in stock.